This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Well, can't you see that it's just raining? There ain't no need to go outside. But baby, you hardly even notice when I try to show you. Song is meant to keep you doing what you're supposed to. Waking up too early, maybe we could sleep. Make you banana.
Hi, welcome to Geek and Sassy. I am Jennifer, and here with my beautiful, wonderful co-host, Miranda.
Hey guys, I didn't have to remember my own name this time.
Yay, I thought I would save you the trouble tonight.
Yay!
We are so happy to have you guys listening to us once again. Thank you for catching back up with us. We're actually not a month between recordings this time. Just shy of a month, maybe a little bit. But got some things to talk about. Got some things going on. What's going on with you, Miranda?
Well, let's see. We took our boys. So, shout out to your son who made it through a inside movie theater movie for his first time.
He did.
Woo-woo.
Very proud of him.
Go eat.
Well, it wasn't his first time. It's just his first time in a long time since he decided he was scared of the movie theater.
Yeah, I was going to say, his first time didn't go so well. So, this is his first time, like, he made it, he did it, and he likes it.
He's trying to tell me he wants to go see Guardians of the Galaxy. So I'm like, yeah, we can do that after Mama sees it without you.
See, the only reason I have to take Caden if we all go this weekend is because, one, Jerry and Erica are at work, so the normal crew that I bring with me can't come. And if my son finds out that I get a sitter for me to come by myself with you guys, he will be royally PO'd. Because he begged me for 2 weeks and wrote it on his calendar like he did with Boss Baby. So if I come with you guys this weekend, I have to bring my kid. So
See, this is another reason why you're a much better mother than I am.
No.
Because I told him to his face, like, no, I'm seriously not taking you to the movie for the first time. Like, after the first time, that's fine. But I'm just not going to do it. And then another reason why you're a better mother than me is, for anybody that's starting a list, I've got lots of those. But so Ethan lost a tooth, one of his front teeth, at field day last week. And, you know, I played this game called "Is Ethan Going to Remember Anything?" And during this game,
I can't play that game with Caden.
Yeah. So let's just say it's been not quite a week, but a good 4 nights since he's lost his tooth. He has yet to put the tooth under the pillow for the tooth fairy, because I just don't want to remind him. I want him to think of it and do it himself, put his tooth under his pillow. Because I feel like, you know, you're 7. Like, come on. If you could take a shower by yourself, then you can remember to put your little tooth under the pillow. So another reason is I never have cash on me. And spoiler alert, if you're listening, you're not aware, Tooth Fairy is fiction. And your mama is the one who puts the...
Oh, God. No, she didn't.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, ruined shit.
That. But,
anyway.
So, I never have cash on me. And, you know, the Tooth Fairy has set a precedence of $5 bills for teeth. So, my plan is to raid... is to raid his piggy bank.
Oh, shit. Why does she always got to bring $5? Like, why?
This is where...
No, I like, legitimately asking, because we did, the first tooth was $5, I want to say.
Right.
Then after that, it's only been, like, $1 or... And then, I will say, Caden has a few teeth that he had caps. He had to have caps put on, so we call them the silver teeth. And they were excruciatingly painful and a horrific experience to have them put in. So when they came, when the first one came out, he has a second one coming out now. When the first one came out, because it was such a traumatic experience going in, the Tooth Fairy did bring $3 for that one because we felt like it was deserved. But she only brings $1 now. She only brings $1.
This is probably a better strategy. I think last time I did $4, and that's just because that's all I had in my wallet. So I'm like, I'm going to have to raid your piggy bank to give you your $5.
Well, okay. I've never raided the piggy bank. I have done where he woke up the next morning and I totally forgot because either like he was taking so long to fall asleep or something was happening, because we have this little pillow that you put the tooth in and then it goes under the pillow. And so he puts his tooth in the little flap on the pillow and he closes it. It's a little Velcro closure, and then you put it under your pillow. And you're supposed to take the tooth out and then put the money in there and then put it back.
Right.
And sometimes I just can't get to it, or he takes too long to fall asleep or whatever. So I do remember once, and he like woke up early and was all excited because he knew the Tooth Fairy should have come. And he wakes up and he's like, "What the hell?" And I'm like, "Caden, we don't cuss." And he goes, "I saw a mama. She don't take my tooth." And I said, "You know what? I bet you last night, because remember, I said, remember Aunt Courtney said that Gunner lost his tooth too. And oh, I think, didn't we see somebody else on Facebook lose their tooth?" And he goes, "Yeah, so?" I said, "I think she was just so busy, she didn't make it. It's not like Santa. They don't come, you know, she's got a plan." I said, "I bet she didn't make it all the way down to Alabama."
Did he buy that?
He bought it hook, line, and sinker. I said, let's put it back under that pillow, and let's try. I said, "Maybe she'll either come while you're at school today, or maybe she'll come while you're in the bed tonight." I said, "Believe it or not, make your bed. Make it all nice and neat for her." I said, "Put your pillow back under there." I said, "Let's see what happens." So Mama felt so bad that Tooth Fairy brought $2 when she was only one. And then there was another time when Mama just didn't have any cash and realized at like 1:30 in the morning when Daddy was on third shift. So there was no like, "Honey, I'm sneaking out to get cash." And I wasn't going to raid the kids' piggy bank. Sorry, Jenny. So the next morning on the way to school, I went in there and I took the tooth. Like, I took the tooth like you do. And I have them hidden somewhere. And so I took the tooth and And the next morning, he goes, "Hey, she didn't leave my money." I said, "Actually, she left a note." And I left this, like, I wrote it in my opposite hand. "Sorry, Caden. On my way to your house, I had a clumsy fall, and I lost all my quarters. So your mama is going to help me, and I'm going to pay her back."
Nice.
Yeah. I'm Slick Rick over here. So I was like, "Here, so she told me to give you $2. So when Mama screws up, he gets $2. So I gave him $2 in quarters. And he was like, right.
Your kid is so sweet, innocent. Mine's just like a skeptic. He'd be like questioning me, like wanting the fucking details to the friggin' letter.
He just kind of looks at me for a minute. And he'll look at the paper and he goes, "I think she used our paper." "Mama, she used your favorite pen." And I'm like, "Oh, she did. I'm going to tell her not to bring her own pens next time." He goes, "Well, Mama, if she tripped and lost all her coins, she probably dropped her pen too." And I'm like, "Oh, you're right.
Oh, gosh. Well.
I guess, I don't know. I just have one of those, I don't know. I've always had imagination myself, so.
Yeah, mine's just pure laziness. I'm just going to phone it in.
You know what you should do?
Just phone it in.
You know what you should do? You should get you a Ziploc bag and put, like, $20 in ones and hide it in your closet, or, like, put it up in your closet. That way, you never have to worry about, "Oh, crap, I don't have any Tooth Fairy money."
If I was that dedicated about saving money...
Well, I'm not either, but I'm just saying.
That's drinking money. That's how I save drinking money, not Tooth Fairy money.
All of our ones we usually throw into a basket with all of our change, and that's our Disney money. But sometimes you just need the ones, damn it.
Well, you know, that's what the piggy bank's for.
Oh, you're gone. Well, he's just going to put it back in there, right?
Yeah, so that's my logic.
Too. I guess next time you go to the store, just grab a 5.
Yeah, I mean, I'll replace it eventually.
Right,
yeah, just
right.
For tonight.
That doesn't make you a bad mother. That makes you you're improvising, and that's what most of us do daily, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, because that's what motherhood is improvisation.
Mm.
You have to admit that's truthful.
It that's wisdom right there. Straight up deep wisdom.
For anybody that wants to be a parent, that's what your life is going to be for the next, I'm not even going to say 18, because my mom improvises me all damn time, and I'm 32. So for the next eternity.
Yeah, lifetime.
You are going to be improvising the
also
shit.
Also washing the dishes a lot.
Clothes. So fucking clothes. Your family of three will produce more clothing than an entire village in Ethiopia in a year, and I don't fucking know how.
Yeah, I don't either.
That is Miranda's motherhood wisdom of the year, brought to you by the Ginny Corps.
Yes. Thank you. I like that. Well, let's talk about anything other than our families at this point, because that's why we do this, to escape from them. Actually, I don't know where you're at as far as we actually did not discuss this in our pre-show discussion, where you're at with your streams and your reads. Don't know what exactly we can talk about as far as CW shows or Doctor Who.
Okay, so my Doctor Who scenario is all kinds of fucked. I'm just going to go ahead and be honest that I have been the worst Doctor Who fan in the history of Doctor Who fans, probably. I am still one of the biggest Doctor Who fans, but I've been the worst fan. Sometime last season, Capaldi made me angry. I don't remember what happened. Can't recall the episode or the date or what I was doing, but I got pissed and something happened. And I stopped watching. It wasn't supposed to be permanent. It was like I'm not in the mood for this. You just made me angry, so I'm going to turn you off right now. And then life happened. So guess what never happened?
Returning to Doctor Who.
Right. I watched the Christmas episode, and I watched, like, Caden still. Caden kept watching it. Caden kept watching it without me. Go, child of mine. I have raised you well.
Is he awake? I mean, can he speak? About Doctor.
No, it is 10 o'clock at night. I put my child in bed at 8:30 every evening, even if he's fighting me.
So, score one again for you.
If I don't, my child is the one that in the morning is like, but I just want to lay here. Because he's like me, and he is not a morning person. So.
All right, so where does that put us on our streams?
Well, I believe... Did we have a flash tonight?
We did.
Okay, I didn't watch tonight, but I can talk about everything, but tonight I'm flash.
Okay.
So, because, you know, our lovely
friend.
But
not Supergirl?
No, I don't know how I'm behind on that. Our lovely friend Bianca asked our opinion. Was it Bianca or Susan? Anyway, one of them asked, you know, who we thought Avatar was.
Uh-huh. Which we did find out tonight. So.
You did find out, but
No spoilers
beforehand. So don't give a spoiler.
I won't.
Beforehand, we were asked who, and we had a couple of theories bouncing around. So there was that. But I'm sure everybody that's going to listen to this is going to be like, "Well, I already know." So
yes,
I just want to put out there who I think it is. That way, I can go watch this and see if I am right.
Okay.
So, per our discussion this weekend, and still doing a little internet research off, I still feel like it's Ronnie.
Okay.
I do, just because of Caitlin's reaction. the last week's episode and how quickly she was like, what do you want me to do? And because that we were told he was returning, we would see more of him. So
we were, yes. We were.
So that's just my like, hey, everyone else already knows and I'll know if I get to watch before I go to bed, but that's my theory.
Okay, so let's talk about last week then. When Barry traveled to the future to see if he could find out Savitar's identity. He travels to 2024 and comes across Team Flash, which had been pretty much scattered. He finds what I like to call Emo Barry.
Yes, yes. That was very much an Emo Barry.
With the most horrible wig I've ever seen. Worse than Oliver's on the island.
Yeah.
You know, he's obviously the future version of Barry has already lost Iris and has turned away from all of Team Flash in his grief. And current Barry, he goes to visit, he finds Cisco. He finds Joe, who is at the grave, at Iris's grave, which that was a great scene.
Oh, yeah.
Any scene with Barry and Joe really is great, but who else? HR, that was funny. HR was a writer, and he was doing a reading.
Oh, my God, he was a romance.
Of his book.
Yes. Was it Mystery? Oh, crap. I read books like this. Like, I ain't ashamed. I ain't afeard. But he's one of those, like, mystery / romance.
Romance.
It was funny.
Yeah, it was funny. So
he's got ladies texting him from the audience. I want you. Yes. I know. I'm like, oh, God.
I liked it. I'm trying to remember what else happened. So they come across Killer Frost. She kind of taunts Barry, and
she basically says, "You were never my friend. You're not my friend."
Right, and she kind of threw in his face that Barry was going to be shocked when he found out who Savitar was. She knew who he was, and Cisco had robot hands
because of what Caitlin apparently does to him at some point in the, well, at, from where he's at, because Barry's in the future, in the past, but what she does to him in the future.
Future, right. So he's not able to vibe anymore without his hands, apparently.
Which makes sense, because that's how he, you know.
Yeah.
He vibed.
I guess.
I kind of get it. But then the rest of it is like, it used your brain, so okay.
So basically Barry had seen the state of the future, wasn't really getting anywhere, was finding out Savitar's identity, and was just going to go back to his time, to the present, and figure out something else, I suppose. And Cisco was disappointed, and he thought that Barry would stick around and help get Team Flash back together. Barry decides to stay in the future because, I mean, frankly, you could stay in the future as much as you want if you're going to go back to the same time. So it's not like he was wasting any time with what he did in the future.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good episode. I thought they would do the reveal last week, but I guess it's okay. Waiting another week, and I don't want to say anything to give it away, but I don't think it's that much of a surprise. And there's only 3 episodes in the season left, and honestly, I have no idea of what to expect. I don't. At the end of tonight's episode, they kind of, sort of come up with a plan the beginning, the ideas of a plan, with the help of a scientist that Barry found out
talked about last episode.
In the future. Okay. Right. Yeah. So, still good stuff. Joe has some good stuff this week, and, I'm just kind of in this in between, you know, I'm enjoying the episodes, but I'm dreading the summer and the wait.
I think maybe that's why, and I hate that I'm not caught up to like talk about it, but one, I have been really busy, you know, in town, out of town, doing stuff at the school, but I kind of want to binge because I know there is only like 3 episodes left of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And when I watch it, there's nothing to watch this summer. Well, I say that, but then I have like all those Doctor Who episodes.
Yeah, there will. Yeah, all there will this be episodes,
you know, so I don't want to.
Kind of like, it's not like there's nothing to watch over the summer. It's just like it's not your normal, you know,
right?
Normal stuff that you watch.
Because there are things that come on only during the summer.
Summer, right, right. And the Netflix is just loaded with stuff right now,
right? Which that's honestly where I've been. I've been on Netflix.
Netflix. What you been watching on Netflix?
So, there's this really odd show that kept popping up in my, like, because, you know, they have that percentage thing now where it's, like, based on the other things you watched, like, you match, like, this much percent. I don't know if mm-hmm. anybody's noticed that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yep. It kept throwing this thing up. It's a British, it's got some drama to it because it's got some serious moments. It's got some, like, fuck you and making my eyeballs water. But for the most part, it's a comedy. It's called Chewing Gum. Have you seen it?
Oh, yes. I watched the whole first season. I love that show.
Okay. So I watched both seasons because they're neither one of them are really long.
Yeah.
They're super short seasons, which I was kind of disappointed with. I was excited because there was this show that I told you guys about, The Crazy Heads.
Mm-hmm.
That, and so the sister that's in, the girl's sister.
Ah.
Is the one of the girls from Crazy Heads.
Okay.
That can see, you know, in Crazy Heads, the girls can see demons and mm-hmm. they're going to take care of them. Well, her sister, what are their names in this show? Chewing Gum? It's Tracy, but it's Tracy's sister.
I know you're talking about.
Because she's always, it's always Tracy.
But Chewing Gum is a weird ass.
It is, show. And that's what I was going to say. Anybody that decides to go watch it because me and Jenny are like, we love it. It's fucking weird.
Yeah, like, it's weird.
And it is heavy in the sexual content. Like, yes. heavy.
Yes.
But it's not like...
Hilarious.
Yes, it is freaking hysterical. So the general concept is this family is hyper, like, over the top religious. And she's basically, from what I can understand, and correct me if I'm wrong, Jenny, her boyfriend, she's basically been, like, promised to him. Like, they've been together since they mm-hmm. were 17.
Mm-hmm.
And she wants to have sex. Mm-hmm. They're 24. Like, she's 24 now. She wants to have sex. And the opening scene, which won't ruin anything, they're praying together. And he's praying about them keeping their virginity mm-hmm. and them staying. And it's not because he wants to have sex, though. He thinks they should stay pure, and they shouldn't.
Uh-huh.
Which just is a whole other can of worms later down.
Right. And it's because he's gay. Really. Right.
And it's so, you can quickly tell that, like super quickly. But because she wants to have sex so bad, you can tell how inexperienced she is and just how badly she wants to have sex.
It's like nothing I've ever seen in the actress. Michaela, is that her name?
I'd have to look.
Her real name.
She is funny.
She is unique. I mean, she doesn't remind me of anybody.
No, her look is extremely unique. And yes. She has moments where she's very pretty and others where you're like, oh, girl.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just going to be honest. Like, I'm not being rude. And I don't know if it's Michaela or Mikola, because you know you pronounce mm-hmm. British, you know they pronounce mm-hmm. names a little bit different, and she's mm-hmm. actually one of the creators for the show too.
Yes, that was the other thing that impressed me about that was how involved she is in the making of the show.
Yeah, and I've seen pictures of her, like just regular pictures. She is a stunning woman. And like you said, mm-hmm. she does not look like anybody else. Nobody I've ever seen.
No.
She is very pretty.
And they play up, I think, when her scenes where she's meant to be ugly, they play that up, you know. And mm-hmm. then I think it'll eventually go through some sort of, you know, coming out of her ugly duckling stage or something, maybe eventually. I'm not sure about season two if you feel that way. But
she looks a little bit prettier in season mm-hmm. two. I think she's like come into herself. She's come out of her mm-hmm. shell. Mm-hmm. And I was doing a little bit of reading about her in the middle of watching this. And I think some of her upbringing is what gave her inspiration for chewing gum. Because she grew up to her parents were from Ghana, from what mm-hmm. I understand. And but you know, obviously she's got the British accent. They you know brought her there, and they were devout Pentecostals, which would make mm-hmm. sense. And they were very big in their instilling their religion into her and her sister, and so that would make huge sense into like the whole.
And even the supporting characters, those feel like characters that she knows in real life. Those feel mm-hmm. like something that has been drawn from people that she actually knows, because they're well done. I mean, they're hilarious. And
I don't know about you, it may have just been me, but like I fell in love with Connor's character.
Yes.
Like immediately, like I had to be like, what else are you in? I need to know everything else you're in. And it's not that he's just like absolutely gorgeous. He's just captivating like as an actor. I don't mm-hmm. know. I really enjoyed his character and him as an individual. And her friend Candice. We say Candace, but they say Candice.
Yeah.
But she was great. And Candice is Nana. Oh, I love Nana.
Yes.
Especially the dildo episode.
Yes.
Oh my God.
I'm so excited. I am shocked because I thought I was the only person who watched that show.
No, and if you've not watched Crazy Head yet, which I think it's because I watched Crazy Head and then I watched the one I told you about that they renamed it. Remember, it was called Scrotal Recall?
Yeah.
Okay, so I watched that one in Crazy Head. So because I had watched those two, it said I should watch this. It was like a 95% match for me. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad it told me to. I had it finished in like a day. Like it's super, super quick. Like I did it while I was folding laundry because my husband is unfortunately on 7 days a week, 10-hour days. Well, his guys are on 10-hour days, which means he's on 12-hour days. So I have a lot of time on my hands because he's not, you know, we play Warcraft together usually. So I don't really have my Warcraft partner. So I have been like watching this while I fold clothes or wash dishes or, you know, whatever.
Other mindless tasks.
Right. I mean, that's why I'm getting the things done I need done in my house, but I'm still at least, you know, having something because I don't have anyone to talk to. So I watched it and I am obsessed. I'm trying to remember the episodes right now because there's one I want to like say something to you about, but I think it's in season two. So I can't say any.
Okay.
I can't say any. Oh, okay. So you've not watched any of season two, have
No.
you? Which, honestly, I didn't even realize I was watching season two until I had to – I paused it for something, and I got up, and I was like, season two episode – what? Because if you finished all of season one, then you know, like, at the end, something between Tracy and Connor
mm-hmm.
kind of walking away in their underwear.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I didn't realize that the next episode was season two.
Ah, so it just kept going.
Okay. Yeah, well, yeah, because, you know, Netflix, it just keeps going.
Yeah.
There's only, like, six episodes to season two.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I don't know if it's, like, done, but something happened. There's two big things that happen in season two, and it makes you go, you're going to get really, really pissed off at somebody, and then you're going to be, like, really upset for somebody.
Oh, great. I love to be pissed off and then upset.
Yeah, you're, well,
those are my default settings.
Well, so. It's not the same person, though. You're going to be really pissed off at one person. You're going to be really upset for another person. And then you're going to be, and then there's another person you're going to be like, hooray you! And then another episode you're going to be like, oh, shit you. And that's all for the same person. So three different people, and you're going to be like, oh, fuck no. Oh, shit.
All right.
Oh, well, by the way, the white that. Girls that are always pregnant?
Yes.
Stinking hysterical.
I really am curious to see if anybody else starts watching this show after listening to this. Let us know if you do, because I would be interested.
It's just mindlessly funny. Very adult. Like, I kept pausing. Caden kept coming in there to ask me questions, and I'd pause it, and he'd be like, what are you doing? I'd be like, watching something you can't watch. And he'd be like, oh, okay.
And it is very British, so that, yes. You know, that will maybe turn some people off. Well, it's not, you know,
it follows not for everybody. Very closely into the British humor. Mm-hmm. So they say things, and I was like, and I could see other people being like, what the fuck is wrong with her?
Yeah.
But I grew up on British comedy. Like, my example, my grandma was texting me last night, had a horrible migraine, and she's like, yay, I got a new TV. I can watch Last of the Summer Wine. So, like, I grew up on British crap. Like, that's my thing. So I could understand somebody turning this on and being like, what the fuck is wrong with Jenny and Miranda?
Yeah, I could see that too.
But if you would like to branch out and try this, we'll love you for trying.
Yeah, we will.
It's a total of 12 episodes, season 1 and 2 combined.
And aren't they like 30 minutes? Aren't they short?
Yeah, they're like short episodes.
Yeah. It's not too bad. It's worth it, I think.
Yeah.
Another show kind of in that vein, and I haven't decided where I'm at yet.
Is it what
I feel like
it?
I like it, but it's called Girl Boss.
Yay!
I haven't finished it yet. I fell
asleep. Oh, you haven't? Oh, God.
Watching it last night.
Tell me where you're at so I don't go, like, too far.
I'm right at the end. Maybe two episodes shy of
So have you got to the one where Bianca was like, let me know, like, text me?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, so.
Not as far as I remember.
Yeah, I haven't messaged her yet, but. Oh, my God, I wanted to. That's all I got to say.
Okay,
you
so.
You would know if you were. That's all I'll
okay,
say.
Okay. So this show is slightly autobiographical.
From what I understand, and I didn't know that until Bianca told us that this weekend, is that it's actually, like, which I think I had read that briefly but didn't pay enough attention to it. When she was like, oh, yeah, the real Sophia. And I was like, oh, that's right. It is based off a real life person.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize that, though. Like, not.
And it.
Didn't pay attention.
It stars Britt Robertson, who was on Tomorrowland, is where I know her from.
I know her from Secret Circle.
Yep. And.
Under the Dome. That's what most people probably know her.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. She was good. Don't even fucking get me started on Under the Dome.
I like that show way too much.
I fucking hate that show.
Really? Ah!
Hate it.
I love
it.
Until
the book. I adore the book. The book is leagues above the show.
No, let me rephrase that. I loved season one. And then season two, I was like, what the fuck?
No. No. I can't get on this tangent. I'll never shut up. Okay.
It's okay. Anyway, that's what she's from, guys.
But I like her,
yes.
And she, like, the character of Sophia is not that empathetic. You kind of don't really like her that
She's
much.
She's kind of a shitty person.
She is kind of a shitty person, but she has this drive and this ambition and this spark that it's hard to take your eyes off of her when she's on screen.
Here's how I explained it to someone. You know how when you leave your TV turned on and then you come back and like, oh crap, it's on like Jerry Springer or it's on like, what's that guy that's always doing the paternity tests?
Mari?
Yeah, it's on Mari. And you're like, oh, this is fucking trash. I'm going to turn this. And then 20 minutes later, you're like, he is the father! You're like, why the hell am I watching this? That's what it made me think of with her. With her, like, her is a per, like, her little character there. I was like, why the fuck am I still watching you?
she has this sort of something.
Right, like you just keep watching. Just, I don't know what it is. It's like a train wreck. You just keep watching her.
And as the episodes go, you get kind of these more humanizing glances.
Yes.
At where you feel a little bit more for her. And that she gets in these situations where you think she's going to turn a corner. And then she just doesn't really do what you want. You know, she kind of pivots back to her old ways. She's so single-minded. She's
kind of selfish.
She is very selfish. But she has, it's all for this goal that she's just consumed with. And I think that's maybe part of some of my fascination with her is because she has that, just this fire about her that I don't know. It really draws me in. I think she's a really good actress. I think she's really committed to what she's doing. And somebody else I really love in the show is her best friend, Annie.
I love Annie.
Her name is Ellie Reed. And all I can think about when I'm watching this is she would make an amazing squirrel girl.
I could, like, once you said that, I could totally see that. You know, I've been fighting hard for the Anna Kendrick, but after watching Ellie Reed in this, I think we should start a Ellie Reed for Squirrel Girl petition.
It is perfect. And I've only read maybe one or two volumes of Squirrel Girl, but the humor is on point. This girl can do it. She looks the part. I just think she would knock it out.
I'm gonna tweet it and share it so people know what we're talking about. Yeah. But yeah, I am with you on that. And I completely agree. And as far as Sophia's character, because you said, you know, we weren't sure why we watched her. I genuinely think when it comes down to it, after finishing the whole thing, and this doesn't ruin anything, I think at the end of the day, she's relatable. Because our lives are shit. Like, yeah, sometimes things get better, but at the end of the day, like, things are crappy. Like, you know what I mean? Well, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, we all have crappy things happen to us. Like, sometimes we have amazing moments, and we can stand up and be like, you know, thank you, Lord, if that's who you want to say, thank you, Lord, or thank you, whatever it is you say. But it was sometimes watching these, like, romantic comedies or just comedies in general where at the end everything is hunky-dory and it's perfect. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that gets annoying. And her character, like you said, like, everything keeps going to hell in a handbasket. And just when you think it's going to get better, it just freaking goes to crap again. So it makes you, kind of, I don't know, maybe the reason I kept watching it is because she has this upbeat friend, but both of them's lives are both kind of in the crapper because it's normal life. It's everyday normal people life.
And it's funny because in the beginning of the show, I found it hard to pin down what year is this? Like, what? Because the technology is weird.
It did take me a little bit to figure that out, too.
And it, you don't get a sense of how much time is going by.
There's a flashback episode that you finally explained it. But I don't think you were to that one yet.
Yes, I have seen that one.
Right.
That was a great episode. I love that episode. Where it kind of shows how they became friends.
But that's I don't think when you and I were talking about it the other day, when you were like, what is this? You weren't there yet. And that's when Bianca and I were both like, oh, it's like this time frame. And it's because her computer throws you way off. She's got like a really old, I forget what they're called. It's an
IBM or something like that.
I don't remember what they're called, but yeah. It throws you way off. And her phone is like you said, it's a piece of shit.
And it's set in San Francisco.
Yes.
And that's the other thing that kind of throws me off because most shows that I watch, they don't have that setting. So I don't know.
I've only ever watched maybe one or two shows that the one show I can remember off the top of my head was The Nine Lives of Chloe King. Oh, yeah, I didn't really get into House, but Nine Lives of Chloe King. Or Full House, yeah, Full House. Nine Lives of Chloe King. That's really it.
But it's an interesting setting for a show like this, too. because her, I guess I should maybe explain if anybody cares at this point, but what she does is she's kind of aimless. Like she flunked out of school, didn't even go to college or something like that.
I don't remember if she tried or.
But there was nothing that she wanted to do. You know, she's like, I'm not going to go to school and spend a lot of time doing crap that I don't want to do. And she didn't know what she wanted to do. But she ends up what she calls flipping clothes. So she will go to vintage clothing stores and estate sales and just random places and buy old clothes and flip the clothes on eBay. So she starts a whole online business, kind of back in the beginning of eBay, like old school eBay. And she will sell the clothes for a profit. And she becomes really successful at it. Mm-hmm. Amazingly so, actually. And that's another part of this that is interesting, because I know some of this is based on true story. So,
but I mean, they're churching and playing and, like, you know, it's not all, I'm sure.
Right. But I like this show, and I wish I had finished it today, but I didn't. Okay. I will finish it, and that's another one I highly recommend.
I would like to see your opinion when you finish it. I'm definitely with Bianca on the first to last episode. There's something that happens, I want to say almost at the very end. And if that's not what Bianca was talking about, I don't know what she was talking about. But I also need to know how you feel, because it made me so angry. Like, you just can't even begin to know how angry I was.
Well, see, I'm not surprised, because her character does some infuriating shit. So I can't imagine what she's done.
I won't say anymore, because I could say something.
Okay.
But, yeah.
All right. What else? Is that all we have for watching?
I feel like I need to save some of my watching, because we kind of already know. Like, guys, we're a little bit ahead of the curve, and we kind of won't know what we want to do. On our next episode. So I feel like I need to save some of my internal stuff.
Okay, let's save it for next time. What have you got for reads?
So some of mine is going to be some of the same, because I wanted to wait and talk about a little of my experience, but Caden and I were able to attend the Southern Kentucky Book Fest, and we got to meet some amazing people. So, I was trying to read more of the Molly Harper Half Moon Hollow series. I wanted to reread that before I officially met her, because it was going to be my first time meeting her. I've been tweeting her for a bit, but I had never actually met her, so I was reading that. And then everybody knows my deep love of Charlene Harris. So I read book 4 of the Sookie Stackhouse series. That one got kind of, I mean, there's sex in all of them, but man, she went full on like, woo, on that one. I was listening to The Garage while I was painting a shelf that my husband built for me. And I was like, whoa, because the guys next door, they're all flight school guys, and they were out swimming in the pool. And I was like, oh shit, get it off the speaker. Get it off the speaker.
Hey, they might have been like, yeah, turn it up.
Oh, no. That would be so embarrassed for the 4 single guys that live next door that are probably like 10 years younger than me, 12 years younger than me. To been like, oh, Miss Berthold. I've been like, oh, you're half naked right now swimming in your pool while I'm listening to porno, essentially. Because she's essentially, I mean, she was like straight up talking about like how long his shaft was at this moment and how hot and wet this girl was. And I was like, oh, whoa.
I need to make a note. Which book is this again?
It was the
Sookie Stackhouse number 4.
You just need to start, like, at the beginning and just read all the Sookie Stackhouse books.
oh, fuck that. I just want to read this one.
I mean, they all got some pretty good sex scenes in them, but this one I went, whoa, damn. Woo! Woo! I'm a little hot and bothered right now.
All right.
Yeah, I went there. Well, I'm glad we're E for explicit.
Yes. Always.
And no, Ethan cannot listen to this one. Miss Miranda would be very embarrassed.
Maybe nobody will listen to it anyway.
They better.
What else you got? You got any comic books?
I know I do, because I actually read some. Oh, I read another one of the Star versus the Universe series.
Oh, sweet.
From Disney. They're highly entertaining. I really love those books. And if you've not seen the Star versus the Universe show that is on Disney, I recommend mm-hmm. it as well. It's a really good show. It's for adults or kids. Sometimes I watch it without my kid. Usually I watch it without my kid. And then go back and watch it with him later.
You know what my kid's been watching?
What has your kid been watching?
Family Guy.
Oh, Lord.
Another reason why you're a better mother.
Well, actually, I have been watching, and I'll go into my opinions and such on the next episode, but I tweeted you and the Slurmcast boys last night.
Yes!
Because, so I have never lied. I have only ever watched, like, episodes here and there of mm-hmm. Futurama. Mm-hmm. And yesterday in my, like, I have a migraine, I am vomiting everywhere, but I want something on the TV, I turned on Futurama. Like, I decided, I'm gonna watch this. Mm. So I did. And I'm into season 2. Mm-hmm. And so I tweeted you, and Jenny was like, well, you need to listen to them and follow along. I was like, no, woman, I'm in deep.
Well, you could do it starting wherever.
Yeah, well, the next I thought what is. I'd do is like listen to them when I'm out, like doing my errands and doing things mm-hmm. like that, and then watch mm-hmm. the shows like as I'm watching the shows because mm-hmm. I did move over and I'm watching something else as well. So, but Caden came in today. That's the whole reason I said something. Caden came in today, and I'm back there folding clothes, watching Futurama for a couple episodes while he was doing his homework. Because I used to sit with him while he did his homework, mm-hmm. and then he starts getting really emotional. So I mm-hmm. sit him at his desk, and then I go to another room, and then he brings it to me to check while he starts the next part.
Smart.
Yeah, so we're starting something. We're trying something new, because there's a lot of homework in fourth grade. Mm-hmm. So even at the end of the school year. So I was back there folding clothes, waiting for him to get done with the first set, and he came back there to ask me a question, and I paused it, and he's like, oh, what are you watching? And I was like, he's like, oh, is that that show that was on at the hospital when we went to check on Mr. Wally? And I was like, yes, and he goes, but I thought you said it was for adults, and I said, I did, that's why I paused it, and he was like, well, that day it was on, you didn't make Mr. Wally turn it off. I said, but he had the sound turned all the way down, and you were playing on your iPad, and he was like, oh, good point. Good point. And he goes, I think Ethan watches this. And I was like, yep. Ethan may watch this. And I said, but do I look like Miss Jenny?
Quite frankly.
And he goes, well, no, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, okay. I got
off topic again. No, there's parts in there where there's actually nothing wrong with the child watching it. And then there's other parts where I'm sure it just completely goes over your kid's head anyway.
Yeah.
But my kid would be like, oh!
Yeah.
My kid's just enough older than yours that he'd be like, oh! Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's some of that, but...
There's the one episode that's coming to mind only because I'm in season 2 with Zap and Leela.
Yeah.
My kid would be like, mama, mama, but I'm not dumb. We're in almost fifth grade. I know he knows where babies come from. I just don't know if he knows where babies come from.
Yeah.
We gonna wait on that. You guys can call me helicopter parent all day long, and I'll be like, yep, uh-huh, what about it?
That's cool. All right. What the fuck were we talking about?
I don't even know. Damn it.
This is going great.
Hey, it's okay. This is what people listen to us for.
You think?
I think so.
Oh, Lord.
Hey, if they're still listening to us at episode 12 at almost, I mean, we're almost a year. So, I feel like we're doing something right.
Well, we're doing something.
It ain't necessarily wrong.
All right.
Ooh.
I was going to try to talk about these comic books.
Okay,
but...
go talk about these comic books and then go look at the picture that Greg retweeted. Because it pretty.
Don't get me on Twitter when I'm on this damn thing.
Well, that's what I do while we're... Because... Anyway. Well, then later, go look at what Greg retweeted.
All right. So, I've really been looking forward to The Button in Batman and Flash, which is basically Batman and the Flash teaming up together to figure out the mystery behind the button from the Rebirth special in the beginning of Rebirth.
I liked that cover that you could move it back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's really pretty. I like it a lot. Which I'd stopped reading The Flash because I didn't like it very much, honestly. But I really want to be part of this story. So I did pick up, 21 and of Batman and 21 of Flash. I liked Batman quite a bit more, especially for the artwork, and it does this classic, Watchmen with the like 9 panels per page. A lot of them are that way. But the Reverse Flash shows up and beats the shit out of Batman.
Well, now.
Yeah, it's pretty great, actually.
Is it great?
It is.
But
I love Batman, but I don't know. I love it when he's in a knockdown, drag out fight.
Okay.
And then something happens. And the Reverse Flash gets murderized. Spoilers, but
okay. I like that. Murderized. He wasn't murdered, guys. He was murderized.
Totally murderized. And then I was interested to see because the art was really really good, and there wasn't much quote unquote investigating what they were supposed to be investigating in that book. So I figured in the Flash that they would do maybe a little bit more of that, and they do. I don't like the artwork nearly as much because the first one was Jason Fabok, who's amazing, and this guy is Howard Porter. And there's a couple of good things as far as the artwork. In the beginning, it shows the Batcave, and all that looks pretty good. But for the most part, I just really don't like it. I'm probably alone in that, but Barry starts like trying to really investigate, and there's an interesting moment with him and Batman. The Reverse Flash is dead, and the Reverse Flash calls Barry's mother's death, and so there, Barry has a lot of feels about this, about seeing Thawne dead, and Batman kind of makes the comment where you could tell me if you felt good that you know that he's dead. That thing that Bruce can identify with.
Ooh.
So finding out that the person who murdered your parent is dead, I think Bruce can really empathize with that.
I'd be like doing air pumps. I'd be like, woo, 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 woo.
Right. Which Bruce is like, his ass is beat. Like he's in his bed with bandages all over him, and he's in no shape whatsoever to be like following up on this, but he's stubborn as hell. And Barry tries to use the, what should we call it, cosmic treadmill to...
Cosmic treadmill?
Yeah. Oh. See, I don't know much about the Flash's history when it comes to this. So I had to read up on some of this stuff. But Batman goes with him, even though he's beat all to hell. And it's pretty good. At the end, there's a big reveal, which I will not spoil. But on the last page, a character from Flashpoint shows up. My favorite character from Flashpoint shows up. And I was not expecting that at all. So I was really excited about it. And so tomorrow I will get Batman 22 and we will see how that goes. I'm super excited about it. Another book that I had mentioned a couple of times, I think, is from Boom Studios called Lady Castle. And it's just a 4-part little mini.
Boom, and some good stuff. I'll say it again.
Yeah, this is something that just caught my eye. I think that Jeannie from Fanatics just posted something about it, and I was like, that looks really cool. So I just kind of got it on a whim, and it's a unique situation because I think I mentioned last time kind of the setup is it's like a medieval castle. All the men have been killed, and so all the ladies are left at the castle to run it, and they've come across werewolves and other things. And in every book, there's been a sequence where it's been like a kind of a musical number, somebody singing about their situation. So this one is done in the style of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Oh, no. That's going to be in my head now, damn it.
So she's, you know, she's basically telling you what has happened to that point in song form to Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. And it's genius. It's wonderful. It's amazing. It's so quirky. And there's something about this book. I'm very, very interested in this creator now, Delilah Dawson, who wrote it and created it. And I just feel like she has this really quirky, unique voice that I'm really excited to read more of her stuff, just from reading the first 3 issues of this mini. And when that series is done, I'm definitely going to let you borrow that because I think you would like it a lot.
It sounds like something I would be interested in.
And just quickly, I just wanted to mention a couple of other books that I've really been loving. Green Arrow, number 21. It has some of the most gorgeous Green Arrow artwork I have ever seen. It is so pretty. It's that guy has a weird name, Juan Vieira or Ferreira. We talked about him before.
Oh, one that you made me say his name really?
Yeah.
I have it written down here somewhere.
He's awesome.
If I can do it.
I just love his style. He draws this whole sequence in the rain when Ollie's in a cemetery and it's just pouring rain. And he just, there's something about the way he does the rain, like it literally.
Ferreira.
Yeah, that's it.
Yay!
It really makes you feel like you're just in the rain with Ollie.
I won't be in the rain with Ollie.
I know, right? and something else that it does that's interesting is it does like 3 simultaneous stories across every page. So like basically roughly the pages will be like in thirds and then it'll have these simultaneous stories going all across. Something that I've not really come across that much. So it's so cool. I love it so much. I love everything Ben Percy's done with all of this. Green Arrow. It's awesome. And that one is a good place that maybe if you haven't been reading Green Arrow Rebirth, it's the beginning of a story arc and I think it's probably a good place to jump in. It's called The Rise of Star City, and it's number 21. A couple of other things just real quickly, because these aren't new, but I've really been trying to go back and read some older stuff. I got super into Thor, God of Thunder, because I've heard so many great things about Jason Aaron's run on Thor, and I found it at the library. I found volume one, the first 11 issues of that story, and I didn't know really what to expect other than I'd heard it was really awesome. Oh my God, I fell in love with Thor. I did not stop reading that book. I could not put that book down. I read it all in one night.
Your library have amazing comics, I will say that.
And I did not expect to have this reaction at all, but it was poetry. That book is poetry and gorgeous. The artwork is like paintings. It's stunning. And I just couldn't get over it. Like, I had Thor dreams that night. What? I was freaking out about Thor. And I'm just like, oh my God, I have to read the rest of this.
Do you know how happy my heart gets every time you get excited over a comic book?
Mine too.
Well, no, because was it a year or 2 years ago? You weren't even reading comic books?
Yeah.
So a year ago, you weren't even reading comic books?
Yeah.
Makes my heart so happy. Sorry.
And I kind of had the same reaction with Aquaman, because I've been wanting to go back and read Geoff Johns' Aquaman run. So I read volumes 1, 2, and 3, which are The Trench, The Others, and Throne of Atlantis. Oh my God. I was like, okay, I'm in love with Thor now. Oh my God, now I'm in love with Aquaman. It's so just like, I don't even have words. Like, I did not know I would just fall for Aquaman. And, you know, I previously talked about my love of Mira, and that just got, that got deeper. But, get it? Deeper. but seriously, and like I said, I know these are older things that we're talking about, but seriously, if you have not read these books, read these books. I could just geek out for like hours, but they're wonderful. And I will say how I read a lot of these is I discovered something called Hoopla, which is an app. You can download the app. You can, if you have a library card and your library participates with Hoopla, it's called it's spelled Hoopla, and you can borrow 5 books or any other kind of media, audio books, I think, comic books, whatever. You can borrow 5 per month. So, of course, I burned through all mine in like a week.
Well, and if your library doesn't my library doesn't participate in Hoopla, but my library participates in Overdrive. And they don't have a limit to how many you can borrow. There's no limit. Better. I want to say your husband uses Overdrive.
Yeah, he might. But see, what he does is if he's reading on his Kindle, he will turn his Wi-Fi off, because once the books, if it's due back and you turn your Wi-Fi on, it automatically returns the book. So he will turn his Wi-Fi off.
It doesn't return it. Like, you have to tell it, like, to, it just won't let you read any more of it.
Yeah. See, that's and I'm not turning my Wi-Fi off ever.
Well, no, because I do it on my phone, so I can't. Well, technically I can, because I'm unlimited now. So unlimited data means I can turn my Wi-Fi off. yeah, but I do Overdrive. I do ebook and audiobook. I've not really tried for comics yet, but my library just doesn't offer Hoopla. I don't know why they chose to go with Overdrive over the Hoopla app, but they did. But there's no limit, because I have gone through like 5 or 6 books before, and it's not been like, oh, you've reached your limit. So
Well, I will have to try Overdrive then.
Yeah, because I know, I mean, if John gets it, then that means you can get it.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. That's interesting that our library would participate in both of those things.
Well, I think it may be because Hoopla offers, don't they offer movies as well?
Yeah.
This does not offer movies, so that may be the difference. It may, because I think it costs the libraries to be part of this. And my library is part of the Camilla something library network.
That's right, yeah.
And you guys are a different library. Even though we're like, mm-hmm. our counties are right beside each other, it takes us 20 minutes to get to each other. You guys are part of a different library network for the state of Alabama. Hmm.
Interesting.
And it's very interesting to learn those things.
Yes. All right, what else we got?
I was looking to see what books I get tomorrow, and I think I accidentally deleted my email, which I usually don't do until I pick my stuff up, but I think I deleted. I have streams, or not streams, downloads. We already did that. I have downloads we can talk about that would...
Okay, yeah, I got something for downloads.
Just a second. So, I have, and your husband actually giggled at me about this one, because I posted one day that I was reading or listening to this in our book group that you and he and I are in. Mm-hmm. It's called Smart Bitches Trashy Books. It's a podcast, but she also has a webpage. And it's an amazing podcast. Clearly, you can tell what the topic of the podcast is. Mm-hmm. But I forget what snarky comment it was he made. But he was like, is this like blah, blah, blah? And I was like, no, it's a podcast for ladies that read romance. or as my husband says, smut novels. but it's ran by Sarah Wendell. And apparently she's also an author. I've not read anything of hers yet. And she's been going for a while. She has a new podcast every Friday. She's on 244. There's a big convention this weekend in Atlanta that I highly wish I could go to. It's called RT, for Romantic Times. And she's doing a live podcast there.
That sounds like an orgy, but okay, continue.
No, it's a bunch of authors. It's a ton of authors, and some of them aren't like romantic. Like they have a bunch of like young adult authors, but it's literally a convention that, like, I think the lowest price ticket, unless you get by like a 1 day ticket, it's a whole week. It's like $400 to go. Yes. Like this would be my ultimate. It's like the Comic-Con of books. It's if you,
Miranda.
Okay.
Can you hear?
I can hear you. Can you hear me? Did we just lose each other? So we may be,
hello?
We may be having technical difficulties.
Yeah, you were cut out there for a little bit.
Okay, well, I'll go again then because our thing didn't stop recording. So anyway, I was saying, it's essentially the Comic-Con of books, especially if you're a romance reader.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently I'm not shy to admit that I am, you know, part of the, obviously, the Felicia Day Book Club, which is known as Vaginal Fantasies. I follow along with Smart Bitches Trashy Books. So clearly, I am down with the smut. I like any book, really, at the end of the day. I read pretty much anything you can think of. But she's going to be at RT, which is, like I said, the Comic-Con of romance books. But they have pretty much anybody there. They have a young adult day. They have author parties. So you just meet, like, it's a week-long experience of meeting, like, these thousands of authors. Fantastic. And one day I will be able to go. This year it's in Atlanta too, so it makes it even more disappointing that I cannot attend. But that's okay, because this weekend is Free Comic Book Day, and it's Guardians of the Galaxy, and it's a D&D game. So that's okay. It's okay. It's okay. It's a lot.
I feel you.
Yeah, right?
Yes.
But anyway, so Smart Bitches Trashy Books comes out every Friday. I listen to it through iTunes. She is her own entity. She's not... Like, you don't have to, like us, when you look us up, you look up Place to Be Nation Pop, and then you find Geeky and Sassy. You just look up Smart Bitches Trashy Books, or SBTB, and you find her. Like I said, she's on episode 244 this weekend. On Friday, she'll have out episode 245. And she goes all the... I mean, I've read some of the past... or listened to some of the past episodes, which is how I found out about some new authors that I didn't know about. Found out about bookstores that I can order from online that I didn't know about. She's got a very pleasant voice. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Like, she was I feel like she could be a great narrator for audiobooks. Obviously, as a podcaster, she has a great podcasting voice. She could have a great career in general if that's what she wanted to do. Very pleasing. She usually tries to pick entertaining people to interview. There's usually always someone that she's interviewing. But I enjoy it. And if you're somebody that enjoys books of that kind, even just a little bit, I would say try her podcast. And maybe you'll find a new book or a new author or, I don't know, maybe just a new podcast in general that you just enjoy listening to or enjoy learning something new about.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, my download choice is kind of different. It's something that actually I had listened to right when I first started listening to podcasts. I don't even remember how I found it. But it's called You Must Remember This. It is by Karina Longworth.
Let me write this down.
It's kind of niche, I would say. I in the past, I'd had this fascination with Hollywood, like old school Hollywood biographies. So I read a lot of Katharine Hepburn.
Oh, yes.
Biographies. I read some Marilyn Monroe, Grace Kelly, and I mean, I would just because all the books would kind of bleed into each other. Because I would get a description of someone in one book, and it would make me want to read their book. So it was like a chain reaction. So basically, this is a podcast where she focuses on old school Hollywood and. Every episode, for the most part, will center around one actress or actor, and she will basically just give their story, their beginnings, how they got discovered in Hollywood, and I find that old like 20s through 60s. That time period in Hollywood, so fascinating.
Oh, it's highly fascinating. It's just
where they had the contract system, and they had, you know, the big wigs like Louis Mayer, and just the whole culture of how it was, and
it was much different than how it was done today.
Yeah.
It was very much glitz and glamour. When people say it was glitz and glamour, it was very glitz and glamour.
Right. And I've always found it fascinating, and she does a really good job at researching and discussing. I'm thinking, namely, she's recently done a 3-part series on Marilyn Monroe, where she did a part of Marilyn's beginning life, which was tragic.
Yes.
Well, her whole life was tragic, but her relationships and then her death. In 3 parts, and it was really well done. And you would think that you know everything there is to know about somebody like Marilyn Monroe, but she always manages to find something that I've never heard before, or tells a story, or something like that. Karina's voice is pretty good, but she has this little tick that bugs me, which of course I probably shouldn't be saying anything because I'm sure I have my own, but
if it's someone that you're listening to and it genuinely is something that you have to like, oh, just get through it, then
yeah, it throws me off, and this is real specific, but it throws me off because, like, if she wants to say the word forgotten, like, with the T's, she puts D's in there. So she says forgotten.
Hmm. And where's she from?
I don't know.
Okay.
But she doesn't. It's real. It's throwing me off every time she says anything where it's supposed to be like a. Like a double T, she'll put the double D. I don't know. It's weird. Anyway.
Well, I mean, I have a child that instead of saying literally, he says literally. So I think I could probably get through it.
And like I said, it's only when those words come up that it just goes, ugh, it just makes me cringe. I hate the way she says it. And then she kind of will try to do some sort of voice, like if she's going to quote the character, or like Marilyn, for instance, which Marilyn had a very distinct voice.
Yeah, that's one I love trying to do my voices, but I ain't touching Marilyn with a 10-foot pole.
Yeah, like, so she'll like try to do a Marilyn quote. I can overlook it. Mostly I'll laugh, but, you know, I don't blame her for doing that. I mean, you know, it's not meant to be funny, but it sounds funny to me. But I like that podcast, and you know, it's like I said, it's niche. It's real specific.
I'm going to search it right now, actually. And since we're talking podcasts, I want to know if you and Ethan tried Brains On yet.
Yes, we did. I tried. He was very distracted with something else when I was downloading it on his iPad. But we listened to some of the Elevator one.
Yeah, that was the one. There's a new one that just came out this past weekend. Mm-hmm. The Elevator would have been the weekend before that. So yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I keep trying to steer him in that direction, you know. So we'll see. And maybe he'll learn something.
Oh, interesting. I just looked her up and she has it's multiple part. It's called Dead Blondes.
Yes. She is. It's part of her series. She'll do a series called Dead Blondes, and there are several other different little. I think they do like a Blacklist series where they talk about all the like the McCarthy age in Hollywood and actors being blacklisted and stuff. So all kinds of different things. I think there's a World War II. Series where she will feature actors and actresses who served in the military in the war, things like that.
Which were a lot. I don't know if people realize how many actors and actresses served in the war and also had horribly tragic lives. Like
a lot of them were. I mean, as far as like even just with drugs and alcohol, mm-hmm. I mean, it's amazing and. Fascinating. I'm like just endlessly fascinated with it. I think it's because I'm super nosy. I think that's what it is. I want to know the story.
I don't consider you nosy. I consider you highly interested.
Curious.
You have to say it in a positive manner. You're highly interested.
Mm-hmm. We'll call it that.
Like, I consider myself boisterous. Mm-hmm. I think it's a better word than saying she gonna fucking tell you like it is.
She loud.
She a little bit loud. Okay.
And since we are talking about podcasts, I will give a little shout out to Sellers Points. I recently got to be a guest on that podcast. We did the quarterly podcast. So Nick Duke and I from the Hard Traveling Fanboys. We were guests with Russell and Kelly, and we basically just talked about the comics that we're enjoying in the first quarter of the year, TV shows, movies, and things like that, things that we're looking forward to. And so that was a really fun podcast. So if you haven't listened to it yet, go back and listen to Sellers Points, the 2017 quarterly.
Go listen to the Hard Traveling Fanboys as well, because they did where they actually rewatched the Batman
Batman Forever.
Batman Forever.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
I listened to it on my way home from Kentucky to the book festival that Caden and I went to. So I couldn't actually watch the movie. But it was great because my sweet Greg, he defended my Chris O'Donnell and it made me so fucking happy.
To be clear, he defended fried green tomatoes and school ties.
He still defended Chris O'Donnell. That is defending Chris O'Donnell. He defended him. Because there were a couple other times in the episode he was like, well. So, as Nick tried to, like, shoot Chris down, just like, period, nope, not having it, not gonna have it, never gonna have it, shouldn't have ever had it. Greg, my sweet Greg. Yay. It was great.
I love that one.
It was. I did. That was a good episode. Which, yeah. All the boys' episodes are good episodes, but that one made me happy because I was like, finally, someone can appreciate Chris O'Donnell. Well, maybe not as much as I do, but can appreciate Chris O'Donnell in a similar sort of fashion that I do.
More than Nick. Which more is than Nick. A lot.
Yes. Yeah. Not as much as Miranda. And you guys can make fun of me all you want to. I will. Whatever. Chris O'Donnell ever hears this with a highly doubt. Sir, you are a gorgeous, gorgeous man that I have tweeted on multiple occasions and I will continue to stalk and tweet you in a highly classy manner.
Oh, there's no other way.
There is no other way. Geeky no Sassy way. Girls only stalk in a classy manner.
This is so true. I've never heard anything more true than that.
Right? Maybe my mom-isms earlier. Or the only thing that might be close to truer right. than that. But, yeah.
Well, I think that's about it. I think we're coming up on a break.
Yeah, on that note, I think we need to take a break, yes.
Yeah.
I have a name for our segment coming up.
You have a what?
You told me to give our segment coming up a name.
Okay.
So, because we told everybody that we, which I'm sure everybody already knows what we're going to be talking about with our special guest. Because if they haven't figured it out, well, I'm not going to call them a name, but they pretty much know what they are if they don't know. Mm-hmm. And you told me to come up with a funny name. So I did. And now I'm really self-conscious about saying it. Because I just gave this whole speech about how we're classy.
We're classy.
And then I have to tell you that she wants the D&D. In a classy, respective way. If I could do the Marilyn voice, I'd tell you in Marilyn voice that she wants the D&D, but I can't do a Marilyn voice, guys. Not even gonna try.
Probably could.
What is it? She's always saying, excuse me, Mr. What is it? Mr. President. It's as close as it gets, ladies and gentlemen, as close as it gets, and that was horrible.
You did it better than Karina did, I'll just say that.
Oh, did I?
Yeah.
But she wants
hers
D&D.
Was way worse than that. On that note.
On that note, we're going to take a break.
Yes, but hang around and learn about D&D with us, won't
our
you?
Very, very special guest. Who is my
Bye. Best. Catch you on the flip side.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey, pro wrestling announcer Kevin Kelly here. I want to make sure you are all subscribed to all the great feeds here at Place to Be Nation. It's really easy to do. Just head to iTunes or your preferred podcatcher app today and search and subscribe to the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, which, of course, includes the full archives of the Kevin Kelly Show, the Place to Be Nation pod feed, and the pro wrestling only feed. Subscribe, listen, and then rate us and leave feedback today. And be sure to give Justin your true thoughts. I mean, don't hold back. After all, he is kind of a jerk. Just listen to Scott.
Put Place to Be Nation's JT Rosero here, and I want to let you know that we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlayStation.com, and we now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, you can check out Scott Criscolo and me on the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, with our famous Vintage Vault pay-per-view reviews. PTBN also covers current-day wrestling with clotheslines and headlines, main event, Lucha Afterground, and our monthly pay-per-view reaction shows. And we leave wrestling's past with our monthly pay-per-view rewind series led by Ben Morse, the Our Vantage Point podcast, which features a potpourri-style look at wrestling history, and Survey Says, a fun look back at the good, bad, and ugly of WCW. And on our very popular Place to Be Nation Pop podcast feed, we offer such great shows as the Glenn Butler podcast, Our Spectacular, Rank and File, PTBN Dadcast, NBA Team, and Lucha Undead, as well as a veritable podcast heaven for comics fans with hard-traveling fanboys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversations, Geek and Sassy, and the Imaginary Stories. You can find all these current shows plus archives of our past podcasts, including The Kevin Kelly Show, as well by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All these shows plus others available at PlayStation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus tournaments and more. Be sure to support our site by using PlayStation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping, and download our free PTB Vintage Vault Refresh ebooks via the links on our site. We also want to thank our friends at Boneheads Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, in Fall River, Massachusetts, thehistoryofwrestling.com, and Scott Keith's blog of Doom. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlayStation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
The Pro Wrestling Only Podcast Network. Subscribe on iTunes or on Android with your favorite podcast app. Established in 2013, the Pro Wrestling Only Podcast Network is committed to providing unique takes on the rich and diverse medium of professional wrestling, focusing on its history and global impact, but also exploring the vibrant contemporary scene. The roll call includes Space City, an NWA On Demand podcast, This Week in Wrestling, Stacey and Elliott's Bogus Journey, the Super Apuestas podcast, The Military Industrial Suplex, Strong Style History, Puro Puri, and Psychology is Dead. Also, from the archives, the full catalog of great shows that provided a fresh look at classic wrestling, including Where the Big Boys Play, Titans of Wrestling, Tag Teams Back Again, Letters from Kayfabe, Wrestling Culture, Pro Wrestling Super Show, Goodwill Wrestling, and many, many others. Pro Wrestling Only Podcast Network. Only the best.
Welcome back to Geek and Sassy. Jenny is here, and
I think I'm here.
You're here.
Physically,
thank God.
Physically, I am sitting in this chair. Mentally, I don't know where I'm at, ever.
Well, maybe you can figure it out long enough to introduce our very special guest.
Possibly, because he knows how scatterbrained I am, too, so he gets it. But we told you guys we would have a special guest, and we did. We didn't spoil who our guest was, but we gave you a lot of clues onto why he was here and what we were talking about. But my very good friend, Kelly, who you guys know as the ever wonderful half of Sellers Points. We have referred to him as the Gingerberry White.
Gingerberry White.
The podcasting world.
Yes.
Yes. Many wonderful nicknames, but we have Kelly with us.
Hello.
Welcome to the show.
Yes, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's good to be here.
Is this the first time I've got to podcast with you?
Yeah. This is the first time, and I'm excited to be here. I may not sound it, but I really am. It's been a long day. We had
right.
to do some extra work today, so it was really hot outside.
It was.
Yeah. So we're really far behind. So it just, we had to work overtime, and I'm just glad I'm off tomorrow.
Yes.
Overtime is a double-edged sword. It's like...
Yeah, technically it's not really overtime pay. It's just we had to work an extra hour, so it's...
Oh, well, that sucks. It's,
yeah.
Then that's not cool.
It's not cool, but it had to be done. It wasn't like I had much of a choice. It's like, oh, you're working over today. I was like, okay, great.
Sure.
Thanks.
Great.
Well, since everyone has had a hard day, I know we normally don't ask this question, but is anyone drinking anything other than water? Like, what are we drinking this evening, ladies and gentlemen?
I'm drinking rum.
Rum. Nice choice, sir. Nice choice.
Well, I had a glass of wine earlier, but things got away from me, and I didn't get to get any drunker.
That's
so,
okay. Well, yeah. Believe it or not, Miranda is drinking.
Well, holy hell.
I know, right?
I gotta gonna have to raid my liquor cabinet now.
Well, our friend came by one day, and he was like, I know it sounds totally trashy and kind of like a college chick drink, but you should go pick this up from Publix. And it's super cheap, too. It's Still Reserve Hard Pineapple.
Oof.
And it's actually super good.
Is it super sweet?
No, because you know what super sweet does to me. You both do. True. It's not pretty. Yeah.
It makes you yell things in restaurants.
It was my birthday, and I was going to do what I wanted to do. And that's all.
Well, now I feel left out.
You had wine. It counts. So. All right. So we actually have Kelly here because, as I told you guys, we're going to do – I hinted and said there may be some dungeons and some dragons and some creepy things. So, yeah, if you don't live under a rock, you figured out that we're going to interview Kelly because, in my opinion, he's one of the most knowledgeable people that I know and pretty much, I think, in our county, our little part of the world down here – the most knowledgeable about Dungeons and Dragons and all the different editions and such. So we've got some questions and some funny questions that we found on the internet like 30 minutes ago. We found some like ridiculous questions that people have asked DMs.
That's fun. That's fun.
So
just hit me with whatever you have. I mean, I
well, I will say, I was Googling, like, questions that people usually ask someone when they're wanting to talk about D&D. And for some reason, Google kept going, did you mean questions to ask a DVD player? And I was kind of like,
what the fuck, Google?
DVD players don't have Siri. Who's talking to their DVD player?
I get mistaken for a DVD player ever so often, so I kind of understand that. So,
I just thought it was funny. I was like, really, of all the things, did you mean questions to ask a DVD player?
Well, I have zero knowledge about this subject. Like, I know literally nothing. So I also took to the Google and I found like, okay, I'm just looking for like basic rule book of D&D. And I go like, okay, well, this looks good. This looks like what I'm looking for. I can read through it real quick. And I go to print it out, and it says 114 pages.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm all, no. I was like, these are basic rules? What the fuck?
Yeah, there's a lot of information about D&D. D&D, you know, D&D's been around since the 70s. My first experience with it was playing, I guess, what they refer to as the basic set that came out in 77. My friend, I remember my neighborhood friends at the time, my friend Anthony had got it for his birthday, and my friend Daryl and I, we played pretty much on and off pretty much that entire summer. But it really didn't take off or really kind of hit until the early 80s. So, I mean, and there are different editions of it. I mean, we're up to the fifth edition right now, but I mean, it's gone through, you know, four other editions, and there's the amount of source material out there. When you when you're looking up D&D stuff, there's just a ton of it. So it doesn't surprise me that, you know, one of the files you found was like, oh, it's 100 pages. You know, we're like, oh, God, I'm not printing that out. That's crazy.
Well, luckily I found the WikiHow, and it had a little bit more concise kind of setup here. So how old were you when you started? If you don't mind me asking.
No, I mean, I'm 48, so I mean, I don't, I'm not, let's see.
I just want to age like Kelly.
I was 8. I was 8 or 9.
You were 8? Wow. Yeah.
If I did my math right. So, you know, I was around, you know, 8 or 9. And, you know, the rules, the basic rules were really, I mean, they were basic. I mean, they, this was their, you know, really their first kind of box set of the game. And, you know, my first character was a magic user. His name was Thor. You had character classes. I mean, you could be a fighter, you could be a thief or a magic user. They even had like, you know, now when you mean you choose a race and a class, but they had like the races were actually classes back then. You could be an elf or a dwarf, and that was actually a class. But they did away with that and changed it to where, like, you know, you pick a race and then you pick a class. So, I mean, mm-hmm. you could be an elf magic user or an elf thief or cleric or whatever. But, yeah, I mean, that was – it was the first time where I played a game where the rules were kind of left vague. It was in the Dungeon Master's hand. Basically, you know, he was kind of – and back then it was basically just dungeon crawling. You know, there wasn't a whole lot about – what's your character about or what's his backstory. It was all about the, you know, the numbers, you know, how much strength you had or how much intelligence you had, how many spells did you have, you know, and the more you conquered and went through the dungeon, you would gain experience and you would go up in levels and you would gain more, you know, you'd get treasure and you'd gain as a magic user, you'd get more spells, you'd get more powerful. And that was really what, the beginnings of what Dungeons and Dragons was all about. I mean, it was just about dungeon diving. You know, you'd have a guy, a dungeon master who would make this horrible dungeon filled with traps and monsters in it, but also put a lot of really cool treasure in it too, you know, magic items and things like that. And if you're able to kind of circumvent or to bypass traps or to, you know, slip past mobs or either you fight, you know, and kill, you know, whatever was guarding the treasure, of course, you know, you get all the glory and all the experience. But I didn't have that experience. I mean, my first character, like I said, was my little magic user. I got to third level and Thor ended up getting eaten by a hellhound, which was, you know, pretty bad and left me a little bit, you know, down in the dumps. But, you know, I just re-rolled, made another character and got right back in there. You didn't really get too attached to characters at that point. I mean, you know, if you had a character that existed for quite a while, you know, and it died, some people would like, well, you know, that's it. And just start over. You know, you have some people, you know, get a little too attached to their character. And that's where you have like, and I'll get into this later. I mean, I don't want to jump right into the negative points that, mm-hmm. but that was the whole thing was that people were people were like losing themselves in their characters or they would get too involved in it. But to me, and I played for a long time when I was young, never ran into that with any of the people I played with. You know, even myself, I mean, yeah, I liked my character. If it got killed, well, you know what? Maybe I'll make another one like him. I'll just name him Ted. You know, he's his brother, you know.
Thor's brother, Ted.
Yeah, they went to the same magic college, you know, like Hogwarts, but, you know, little, you know, it, you know, it's kind of like a hood version of Hogwarts. It was a little, you know, off the beaten path, not
so
that spectacular.
They had some girl in the corner going, "Catch my son."
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, he said we're in Hogwarts. I'm just saying.
That was that was basically the Hermione of yeah, I mean, it's the thing
hopefully
is
she gets eaten by a hellhound.
Yeah. Yeah, I really didn't like hellhounds for a long time after that. But my friend Anthony, who was basically our dungeon master, he knew how much I hated them and would just about have them in each dungeon. And I would do my best to slay each one of them because it was just like a personal vendetta also.
Is this kind of like something that you get into later, but the vampiric unicorns?
That's another story. Well, what I can tell you about that is my friend, one of my good friends, Jim, he and I did a lot of collaboration back in the 90s, and he had his own kind of game world, and I had mine, and basically we kind of worked to kind of bring our worlds together. But I played in his first game. This is the first time I ever played. I played a high elf elemental warrior. Now, this was not D&D. This was a system called Rollmaster. And Rollmaster was a role-playing game that had a lot more to do with numbers, was real detailed about what skills you had, sub-skills, had a ton of character classes. I mean, I can't, you know, when I say this game had a lot of character classes, it did, and races too. So an elemental warrior, basically, you know, you can think of it like somebody who uses the elements, does, you know, cast spells, but also fights with, you know, like a melee weapon. I think I fought with like a rapier, and I could wear, you know, light armor. But anyway, I was playing this high elf, and I was playing him quite well because high elves are haughty and they're arrogant bastards. And, you know, I treated most of the party like, I mean, most of the party were humans, which I referred to them as apes because they were uncivilized. And anyway, we came across in one of our little sometimes you'll have these when you're traveling to a location. The game master will have these random kind of encounters pop up to kind of stir things up. So it's not just, okay, well, you're traveling to and you're traveling. This unicorn, we found this glade and there was this unicorn kind of just hanging out there. And I went, oh my God, it's a perfect opportunity. You know, unicorns are royal. You know, they're highly looked upon. You know, elves are, you know, great allies to the unicorn. So I'm just going to go up and I'm going to go bow before it and hopefully maybe it'll bless me. You know, well, Jim set this up. And I think he knew how haughty I was and how I would take the bait big time because this wasn't just a unicorn. It was a vampiric unicorn. And when I went to kneel down before it to kind of show my respect, it latched onto my neck and started to just chew into it.
Oh, God.
I freaked out. Some of my friends started laughing. And rightly so, because I was kind of a dick to most of them. So they were all like, oh, well, look at that. The haughty elf's getting eaten. Maybe we should just let him.
So you were the Blake of the group, it sounds like.
I kind of was. But high elves, I was just playing I was playing my race, you know, just kind of getting into character.
Right.
But we killed the unicorn. And at that point, I hacked its horn off and kept it. And this became a fixture for my character because now my character began collecting things. Anytime he killed an enemy, he took something from them. And this is because of this incident. So, I mean, I kind of took on this whole kind of character flaw or, you know, mannerism. It was like I just took something from my enemy. And when I retired my character, basically – I described a gym that sitting on the mantel place above the fireplace in my modest little home was that unicorn horn basically under glass is kind of just a conversation piece. But I mean, it's things like that, that because Jim was really good about, and this was when, you know, we're not really looking at doing dungeon delving. I mean, we did it, we did some of it, but it was more about, character development and really, you know, kind of role playing your character and really giving your character a backstory and because this character I'm describing to you, he was a high elf, and of course, basically the enemies to high elves are kind of like the drow or the dark elves. And we came across two twin dark elf sisters that were, one was a cleric and one was a blade singer, which is basically like a fighter. And we kind of befriended them. And eventually through the course of the game, my character ended up kind of falling in love with the cleric. And, you know, was kind of that whole thing was like, oh my God, a high elf and a drow or a dark elf together. And the kingdom I came from was Evermeet. My family would not talk to me after that. They basically, I was part of a royal household. They basically removed me from that household. And so I basically said, all right, well, fuck all of you. I'm going to go start my own kingdom. So screw you. You know, I'm out.
With blackjack and hookers.
Yeah. Yeah. And I did. I went and started my own kingdom. And the thing was that those moments with those characters, when we played Jim's next game, I played the descendants of my main character. So it was kind of this lineage thing that, and it was really interesting. It was really fun. Like I said, it's, you know, D&D at its basic form back in the day was all about gathering loot and going through dungeons. And it still has that. I mean, there's still that whole thing about, you know, getting the loot and, you know, besting the monsters that the DM throws against you. And, I mean, it's one of the things for me as I look back on it, a lot of fond memories because I was, you know, I was a geek back in the day and I didn't have, you know, my peer group, really didn't have one, you know, and growing up, but I mean, my friend Daryl and Anthony, I mean, we gamers and whenever we find other gamers, it was like, you know, finding the Ark of the Covenant. We're like, oh my God, play two. And it, you know, this whole kind of community, you know, we didn't have, I mean, we would call each other and say, hey, you know, we're going to play this. Or, yeah. You know, we're going to go over to, Bob's house and play or whatever. And it was just really a fun time. And like I said, a lot of the folks that I played with back in the day, I'm still friends with. I mean, we still, you know, we don't, some of my friends don't play as much as they used to, but, I have one friend of mine who's teaching his kids how to play, you know, three kids and, you know, they're all, you know, 10 and 11 and they have a blast doing it. It's like their whole little family, you know, family game night. So, to me, I'm glad to be a gamer and you know, there are folks out there. I mean, I know a lot myself in this, you know, from what Miranda kind of said. I mean, I know a lot, but there are people like my friend Jim and a few others that I think they're a lot better. As far as storytellers go, they're really good. And I kind of miss gaming with them now that we've been talking about it. So
I love that's that whole bonding experience. And you have these just incredible experiences with these people in this whole fantasy realm. I just love that idea. I'm kind of a sucker for bromance. So it kind of, I don't know. It makes me happy to think of geeks sitting around.
Yeah. I mean, playing
D&D.
That we would have all nighters where, like, you know, we'd, you know, the scenes where you see, like, you know, gamers maybe on television or media where they're sitting around eating pizza and chips and, you know, they're drinking, you know, Coke and stuff like that. And just, that's us. That's what we did. I mean, it was, the cool thing was, you know, a lot of times, like, my parents didn't understand D&D, but they knew where I was. I was back in my room with my buddies laughing and having a good time.
Right.
So they never, in the beginnings, they didn't have any, it didn't bother them. They really, you know, just thought we were playing a game. So, I mean, they didn't, it wasn't until later where they had reservations. They were kind of concerned about the whole D&D thing. So
what were their concerns?
In the 80s, D&D got a lot of bad rep, a lot of misinformation was thrown out about, you know, they were saying that D&D led to devil worship and that, you know, there were a lot of suicides because of it, and people getting too attached to their character, they would kind of lose themselves and you know, do harm to themselves or other people. And I mean, there were some incidents that happened. I'm not going to say that D&D wasn't somehow a part of what happened, but this is the way I look at it. You know, this game is all about your imagination. It's all about, you know, you kind of creating these things and using your imagination. And, you know, somebody who doesn't have a good grasp of reality, I wouldn't suggest they play something like this. You know, just like I wouldn't suggest an arson be left with a can of gasoline and a match. You know, I mean, it just
begs for trouble.
Right. And it boils down to, you know, and I'm not a parent, and I hate doing this sometimes, but sometimes, you know, parents need to be invested in what their kid's doing. And
I agree with that. Yeah.
And, you know, my parents were worried. And I can remember I was probably in my, you know, I think I just hit my, you know, 19 or 20, you know, and we were gaming a lot at my house. And I remember we were eating dinner one night and my mom just goes, "What do y'all do back there? What exactly is D&D? And she goes, "I've heard a lot of things and, you know, it's not devil worship. I mean, I know you're not doing that, but I mean," and I said, "Okay, well here, let me explain it to you in a way that I think you," and even my dad, you know, was concerned. I said, "Let me explain this so maybe you and dad can grasp this." I said, you know, at the time my mom loved to watch Dallas. That was her show. And
I loved it too.
And my dad loved to watch you know, the Rockford Files that had, you know, James Garner as the lead. And I said, "Okay, Mom, you know that Larry Hagman plays J.R. Ewing?" And she's like, "Yeah, yeah." I said, "Okay, well, Larry Hagman's really not J.R. Ewing, right?" She goes, "Yeah, of course not. He's just playing that character." And I said, "Okay, that's kind of what we do." And I said, "You know, Dad, it's the same thing. Like, you know, James Garner plays, you know, James Rockford, but he's not really him. He's just playing that character." He's like, "Yeah, I get it. I see." And I said, "The only difference is that they're getting paid money to," you know, and I said, "Me and my friends aren't." And I said, "It's all just, you know." And once I kind of just related it to them in that kind of fashion, they got it. They understood it. And from that day forth, they weren't concerned. I mean, they didn't, you know, they knew it was just a game. And, you know, and the fact, like I said, all of my friends would come over to the house. My mom would make snacks for us and bring it back there. And she'd joke around with us. And you know, it was just a really good time. And I think the fact that, you know, we were there, it wasn't hidden. We weren't trying to, you know, it also helped the fact that it was transparent. There wasn't any, you know, mysticism or any things that weren't supposed to be going on. We were just back there playing a game and you know, and I was glad once I got that through to my parents that they understood, and they were able to also educate other people who were ignorant of it, because, you know, like I said, if you want to just, you know, I went on YouTube just to look up stuff this past week on the panic that D&D kind of gave folks and just all of the bullshit that was thrown out about, you know, this is a bad game, you know, and I mean, we went to church and we'd hear about it. I'd hear about it when I went to school, and I just never really said anything. I didn't advertise I played because I didn't want to have to deal with the hassle of having to defend it to folks that just didn't get it, didn't understand it.
So. It's kind of like that devil music, that rock and roll, you know, just the next generation,
iteration of that. When they started all the this video game or that, you know, musical artist, you know, it leads to being an atheist or it leads to being
Marilyn
this
Manson.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. That's it.
But that's every generation is going to have something like that. And I also think for, like, the generation, like when all the three of us grew up, you know, like our parents and our grandparents, for example, you didn't have all the ways to research something that you do now.
Yeah.
And then we all grew up in small towns, so small town talk can do more harm than people realize. So as we did go to church, I remember the same thing. Like all it would take is for one person at the church to say something to so-and-so's mom. And then it was like something that never happened, or that game's not even, that's not even how that game is played, or.
Yeah. It like I said, a lot of misinformation got thrown out there, and you're right. There was no way to really verify a lot of this stuff or fact check it. It was like you heard it second or third hand.
Right.
And you know, but most of us gamers knew most of it was bullshit. I mean, we knew what the game was, and you know, a lot of times we were always trying to defend the fact that no, that can't be right. That's this. It's there's inconsistencies in that train of thought. But of course, we're kids or we're teenagers trying to convince an adult or whatever, and you know, they're not gonna give us a time of day.
Right. So. They just think we're arguing for arguing's sake.
Yeah. Yep.
Because I'm now a mom that thinks half the time my kid is arguing for arguing's sake, so I totally understand that.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Well, I'm interested in something that you talked about earlier about the role-playing aspect of the game, because that's something that I didn't quite know. Of course, I don't know much, but when I was reading over these things, that was something that caught my eye. How, when you play, like today, how deep does that go? I mean, how your group, how in character do you guys get?
Well, I think like in the current game that I'm running with the folks that are playing in it, I think everyone kind of has their own way of getting into their character. And I think it's just, you know, each individual has their own way of doing it. And the way like, and I get Miranda can pipe in too about this is, I mean, Blake has a very, brash character in the game. Yeah. And, he and Danny are both, they're brothers, and they're from a royal house. Basically, they're the sons of the king of one of the kingdoms in my game. But they're really far down the list. They're, you know, not really even, they're not even close to being the throne. You know, so they can kind of go off and do what they want to do, and you know, the father and mother are concerned and love them, but you know, they're not next in line for the throne. So, but, I mean, Miranda, you've been playing, you've played a few times. So, yeah. I mean, you know,
for like our friends that listen that know Blake personally, you know, like, he's very fun. But he's kind of like quiet reserved until you get to know him. So just imagine him, the complete opposite what he normally is. He has this guy that runs around, basically a servant, essentially, that runs around with him, follows him around. And he's all the time, like, yelling at him telling him what to do. Like, he made him wash one of our guys' pets the other day. and then he, like, when he doesn't do what he wants to, he pretends that he's pulling off, like, he's like, I pull off my glove and I throw things in it and then I hit him in the face. And I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah. He's got servants and, they don't all get treated very well, but I mean, you know, they're all vassals. I mean, they've been appointed to him, to basically, you know, take care of him, that kind of deal. You know, royals have, you know, valets and cooks and things like that. So, and one of them is just particular, that Blake has just chosen to focus on as his whipping boy, for different things. So, and that's funny. I mean, it is, when you're in character like that and you're doing that, that makes the game, it makes the game feel more, I guess, real to an extent, or have like a life of its own, rather just saying, you know, well, my character does this or my character does that, but actually seeing it as your character and saying, yeah, you know, like I was explaining how my high elf was in Jim's game. When I first made him, I just, you know, decided that I was going to have this very haughty attitude, which high elves do have, and that I kind of looked down on any other race, especially humans. I really had this problem with humans. I felt them, you know, basically apes, and that they were, you know, not fall, you know, they, you know, still, and I really just, in fact, my friend Chris Weinrich, who was playing a half elf, I remember in one game session, I got really mad with him, and I took this sack of gold and I threw it at him. I said, please act more elvish and just, you know,
oh my God.
And, you know, cause I was also royalty. So I had kind of a lot of funds just to throw around, but it was funny and everyone laughed, and it was just kind of, you know, when you're coming up with a character, it's, you know, it takes time to kind of find their voice. And, it seemed like in a lot of cases, like in the previous games I've run, you know, everybody, it takes some time to kind of find who they're, what this character's about. And it makes the game a lot more interesting. You decide what your background is and you tell me as a game master, and then I can maybe throw things in to work with your background and maybe give you a little story part for your character in the game itself, and it not just be about the main quest, but maybe you have this little side thing going on, you know, for your character to advance it, you know.
I love that. I honestly was surprised. I'm surprised to learn that the theatrics of the game, because you know, basically when I think of D&D, I think of dice rolling and math, and like
there's,
you know,
that too. There's that,
you know,
too.
I mean, I've not considered the theatrics of it and how rooted you can be in the character and how much fun that would be to act out with your friends. And it's actually pretty. It makes me want to sleep. But you said that you're running a game. So does that mean that you're the Dungeon Master?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And you said you're playing the 5th edition?
Yeah, yeah, we're playing 5th edition D&D.
Okay, does that that there's like a book that you got, or do you plan your own campaign?
Basically, there are three books. You have the Player's Handbook, the DM's Guide, and the Monster Manual. That's basically all you really need. The DM's Guide basically breaks down the basics of setting up a game and helpful rules to kind of help you craft and kind of build your world, build your setting, basically. The Player's Handbook is, as the name explains, it's there for the player to help build his character. It's got all of the races and classes, all of the equipment, all spells, all the feats and abilities and things like that. So the player can roll his character up. And the thing, you know, dice are very essential when you roll dice and you can and figure out where you want to put them and what kind of character you want to play. And like Miranda said, she wanted to play a rogue, and she kind of had this idea about playing a half vampire, which there, you know, like I said, there are lots of different races in the game. There's lots of different, you know, people have come up with their homebrew kind of version of races, and you can find them. There's a lot of them on Reddit. And also, like, you know, D&D, or, you know, they put out a lot of, you know, new updates for classes and races and things like that as well.
Okay.
But, you know, that's part of it. And you know, rolling dice for attacks and I mean, that's still a part of it too, because that's, you know, you try to, you know, you want to have a role-playing session. You want to throw in some, you want to give some adventure to the characters, and maybe even a threat. You know, you want to put a challenge out for them. So, I mean, when, you know, if they overcome the challenge and they, you know, get some reward or experience, I mean, they, you know, it's kind of a good feeling, like, okay, well, we managed to best that one monster, and we got some gear and we've got some, you know, experience, and, you know, it's kind of a whole growth, you know, leveling kind of situation. So
what's been, oh, sorry. What's your favorite edition? I assume you've played them all by now.
I think that, my favorite, I think, was third edition. And then eventually, you know, they put out like a 3.5 edition later on. But that, to me, that's when they really, they changed the way the whole game kind of played. They made a lot of good improvements, and the game had a real good, you know, there's a lot more, I think, to me, more character create, where you could take a character and kind of do some really cool creative things with it and not just be a cookie cutter, you know, I'm just going to make a fighter or I'm just going to make a magic user, but there's more, you could do more to kind of create that, make your character kind of unique in a way. Not to say it was perfect. I mean, it had its own, you know, there were some flaws and there were some things in it that mechanic wise, that, you know, eventually they worked on and they fixed. But now, I mean, fifth edition is becoming kind of my go-to, and I'm really enjoying it because it has the same kind of, I mean, they've kind of mainstreamed things down a bit. It's really easy to make a character, and at the same time, there you can make that character, you can modify it to where if I was playing a mage and you were playing a mage, we could both be a little bit different. We would be the same type of mage, or same thing with fighters and like that. So, but those two editions I think were my favorite. When as far as play style, I mean, they're really, really to play.
Okay. And this is where kind of, for me, like I can buy into the role playing part and the character part. To me, when it comes down to math, that's, you know, I'm like, oh God. Describe, like, what is the hardware like? What are the dice like?
Okay.
If I were going to play a game, what would I need?
Well, I mean, you have a D20, a D12, a D8, a D6, of course, a D4. Not all the dice are really used. The main one that you're probably going to use is a D20 is like the core dice. That's what you use to roll to do an action or to do something in game. Like, let's say you were going to swing on an orc, and you know, the orc has a, you know, an armor class, and you have your attack. Your attack bonus. So you roll. Let's say you have a bonus of +5 to attack, and you roll. You roll to 15. So you take that 15 plus your 5. That's a total of 20. So you hit the orc, and then you roll damage. You're using a long sword, so that's going to be a D8 plus whatever your strength bonus. So you know, you roll a D8, and you add that to the strength bonus, and that's the damage you do to the orc.
Gotcha.
So, I mean, the mechanics are not really, they're pretty simple. And like I said, fifth edition has really made it very streamlined, where combat flows a lot smoother. Back in the day, I can tell you that combat was clunky in first edition or basic. And even in second edition, was just clunky, and there was a lot of unnecessary rolling, because you want combat to go smoothly. You don't want it just to, you don't want it to be bogged down.
Right.
So, I mean, that's basically, I mean, the mechanics of it at its, you know, most simplest form. Like if you were going to do an action, or if you were going to, you know, I would give like a target number. Let's say you're going to try to pick this lock, but you're trying to do it quickly because, you know, you have monsters, you know, coming down the hallway. And so you'd roll the D20 plus whatever skill would fit into that. And I'd give you a target number. And if you hit that target number, then you've got the lock open, you've got the door open, and you know.
Then the play can continue and not get...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Cool. Our first session that we played of the campaign, it actually, we didn't roll... Like, I think Blake rolled one time and Julian rolled one time for something specific to their character, but there was actually no rolling or adding, and I was, like, nervous about that, because here I am sitting, like, in my first game, and I'm like, don't fuck this up! but we did it. I don't remember rolling. And then the second one that we did, there was a lot of rolling because of where we were at that point. And my only problem is I'm still not, like Kelly was saying earlier, like, being extremely comfortable with your character and knowing your character's voice. And I also don't know yet exactly, like, oh, was I supposed to add that mod to this, or was that no, or that's what's taken me so long to count, because they're like, oh, plus this, and I'm like, ah, crap, like, I need to add five more to whatever it is I just rolled. So, and it's the difference, because, like he said, don't always use the same dice. So for one thing, I need to use these two, and then another thing, I need the 1d20, and that's the only thing that I am seeing, is that it's very easy to learn and to participate in. Actually, you know, like I said, my uncle fake let me play when I was really little. But as a Warcraft player, because you create a character and you pick certain stats, and it's just basically a paper and outlawed version of Warcraft, essentially, to me.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking about when we were talking about your characters. I was like, that seems like something Miranda would be into because of her Warcrafting, and, you know, you would have some experience in that. But like you said, it's like the analog version of it.
Yeah, Warcraft and well, really MMO is basically a version of tabletop D&D. Whoever created, you know, like one of, I'm trying to think of the guy's name. He just recently left.
Chris Metzen.
Thank you. Yeah. He started playing EverQuest, which was one of the, you know, big MMOs for back in the 90s, 99, back in 99 when it first came out. And Chris Metzen talks about playing D&D and playing role-playing games. And, I mean, that's where Warcraft basically, you know, came from. And, you know, if you look at a lot of these MMOs, they're, you know, they're – all they are is just a electronic version of, you know, playing a role-playing game on, you know, on your computer. Mm-hmm. And – except it takes away from the human experience of sitting around a table and that experience. I mean, don't get me wrong. I've played Warcraft for a long time, and I've played a lot of different MMOs, and I've enjoyed them. But I think the most enjoyment hanging out with folks around a table and playing with your friends and that whole camaraderie that you really you don't get when you're playing online. I mean, you kind of can, I guess, if you're playing with friends and you're playing on vent where you can talk to each other. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't come close to sitting around a table, and because there's so much stuff that goes on in a game. I mean, there's a lot of, I know the last few games, there's been a lot of, kind of mystery and intrigue and trying to figure out certain parts and certain things going on, and, you know, people thinking, having, you know, well, this is what I think is going on, and testing their theories, and, you know, comedy and, you know, that kind of stuff. I mean, it's fun. I mean, at the end of the day, that's really what it all boils down to, is just having fun with your friends and making some good memories, which to me, gaming, you know, and, you know, I love comics. I'm, you know, of course, you know that, but gaming is right up there with my love of comics, because I've done it since I was little, and it's been and still is a big part of my life. You know, I've gone, this game that I'm running now, it's my second, I've only ran it twice. I'll be running it again in a couple of weeks. But it really helps helps me in a way, and I'll share this with you. I mean, I deal a lot with depression, and gaming has been a bonus, has been a really good outlet for that, as far as, you know, because, you know, when you get to a certain place where you just don't want to be around people, or you don't feel, you know, that you don't want to be sociable, if you can push yourself through that and do something with other folks, it helps. You know, it helps you to get through that, whatever it is. And you get to that other point, you're like, okay, I'm all right. This was good. This was a, you know,
cathartic release.
Yeah. And
connections with other people to help. Yeah.
Gaming has been like that. Cause I've had my own, you know, all my life I've had, battles with depression in some shape or form. And gaming has been, like I said, one of those outlets that definitely has helped me deal with it and to push through times where maybe I really don't want to be sociable or don't want to, you know, do anything. And it does, it's helped. And, you know, I've had a lot of friends that have similar situations in their gaming life where that it's helped them. You know, I had a friend growing up that was really, really shy, and, you know, he ended up being one of the better gamers in our group because he could kind of just let loose when he was mm-hmm. playing and kind of got that, he kind of found his voice, and it was really cool to see that, you know, kind of change in his personality and the confidence that it kind of helped, build, you know, build up his confidence. So, I mean, you know, like I said, D&D or role-playing games in general they're not bad. I mean, they're not harmful. But like I said, I mean, someone who's not really grounded in reality or someone who's not, no, I wouldn't suggest them playing, you know, or doing things like that. I mean, it's, if someone's having, you know, trouble, you know, being able to discern what's right, what's real and what's not, mm-hmm. You know, of course I wouldn't say, oh, wait, you know, let them play this game. This will be great. No. But.
So when you're the DM, what's your inspiration for your campaigns? Do you try to, like you said earlier, kind of further along characters, or are you out to get people, or what's your style?
Well, there are different styles of DMs. I think if I picked my style, it would be kind of it's all about the story. It's all about, I'm trying to tell a story, but at the same time, the players are part of the story, and so I want them to be, you know, I want them to be invested in it. So I try to kind of do it in such a way where the characters can add to it, and it's not just mine, but it's theirs, you know.
And he tells a great story, like, not to interrupt him, but, like, he really does. And I feel like as a player, and especially somebody that I would consider, I guess, new to the game, for example, my character asked a question to one of the people that as a DM, he's, like, multiple people in the town. Mm-hmm. And I just thought it was amazing because, like, he does the facial expressions and the mannerisms, and it's like you're genuinely watching a story. Like, I don't know. I think it's super cool.
Well, that's when you're the NPCs, non-player characters, are what the DM basically runs, and there, it's a gambit of different people you're playing, and they all have kind of a different personality. You try your best. I try my best to kind of do different inflections in my voice to kind of give them some, you know, realism. But that's the role of the DM. He's also you play allies, you play, you know, people that are maybe not nice. You know, you have many hats when you're a DM. But as far as like stories, a lot of time, coming up with story ideas, that's one of the toughest things for me.
I would imagine that would be hard for me.
I think that would be any DM's, you know, one of their top, you know, is coming up with a good story, because it's like everything's already been said and done. How many times can you go save the princess, or how many times can you go, you know, help defend the realm against, you know, the orc horde or whatever? So you have to kind of sometimes, I like to go with, I've always liked to do kind of the small story arc, the small adventure that kind of grows into something bigger down the road. And that's how I kind of came up with the story I'm doing now. I've taken a lot of elements from previous stories that I've done and my friend Jim has done. And I've taken what I thought was some of the coolest parts of those games from the past, and I've kind of made kind of an amalgam of all of them in this story, because they're really cool ideas. And sometimes you can take a cool idea and just kind of twist it a bit and kind of give it your own flair and kind of make it new to an extent. And you know, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. You know, I think the first two sessions have gone pretty well. I was going into this with my comps not as strong as it used to be, because, you know, not every game that I run has been good. You know, I admit that I've had some games in the past that I look at and I'm like, God, that was horrible. I really just shit all over that. That's just, that was just bad. And then, you know, at the same time, I look back and there's games and I was like, well, that was damn good. That was awesome. And you know what? It wasn't just me. The players helped make that good. Right. And that's really what it boils down to. Like I said, it's not just my story. I want it to be the group story too. Because then you have all these cool things you could sit around and talk about later. You could reminisce. But, oh, you remember that game we were in and this happened?
And they do. Like, it's great because two of the guys in our group have played with Kelly. So it's great.
But then, you know, you're talking about DM styles. I have a friend named Eldon. And he lives in Florida, is married, he's got kids, and he's a good guy. But he was what we would call a killer DM. He wasn't so much – he really wanted to test the boundaries of what someone, you know – you know, wasn't – you know, killer's not the best term, but, I mean, he really was brutal. You know, I had – his games, I mean, there was a body count, you know. One of my characters, I remember I was playing a cleric of Poseidon, and in the course of one of the game sessions, this demon grabbed me and he flew me high up in the sky and was showing me, you know, how far we were. And he was like, renounce your God and I'll let you live. And without thinking, I was like, okay, okay. And so he flew me back down and dropped me and laughed at me. And immediately I was like, oh shit. And I tried to cast a bless spell. I tried to bless myself and Eldon's like, nope, you don't feel any divine power. I was like, shit.
he
tricked me. I'm like, and so basically, Eldon told me, because you can have, we can do a, you know, you can go and do penance and you can go, you have to go do all this stuff in order you have to go on this whole trial thing for Poseidon in order to find your, you know, to get back in good standing. And it was a lot of shit he had listed. I was like, you know what? Screw it. I'm just going to retire and be a farmer.
Just, you know, so you and know, I did. I'm not ready I just to retired. Die yet.
I just retired. Yeah. And I mean, I had, you know, I had, had another character who lost his hand. I mean, Eldon's games were brutal. And like I said, and the thing was, though, I looked back and they were fun. They were a pain in the ass. Every time we played, it was like, okay, who's in the death pool this week? You know, who's betting on who, you know, And there's one guy named John who played with us, and you know, he wasn't really the greatest at playing, but he liked to play, and he knew he wasn't all that great, but he had the biggest death count. I mean, he had a character die every, I don't know, every couple of months he'd have a character die. He'd get him up to second or third level, and he'd do something dumb, and he'd get killed. You know,
that sounds like the kind of player I'd be, for sure. So what do you prefer? Do you prefer to be the DM, or do you prefer to be a character?
Well, I like to do both. And luckily right now I'm playing one of my friends, Chandler, is running a game, and I'm playing in it. And I like to do both. I mean, I do enjoy running a game. I do like that. But also I do like to be able to play once in a while. Back in the 90s when my friend Jim and Chris Smith and my friend Chris Heyer and everybody was around, we had multiple games going on just about every weekend. You know, if I wasn't running my game, Jim was running his, Chris Smith was running his. I mean, we had Saturday and Sunday wrapped up as far as gaming goes, and it was really cool. But when they moved away, I was really the only one left that was running anything on a consistent basis. My friend Danny, he has run some games. And you know, my friend Chris Andrews, he's done a couple, but they, and Blake's run some games too. So, I mean,
Blake's ruthless.
I would imagine that would be
well,
correct.
You know, that's, you know, Blake's running a game right now where, you know, we basically didn't, you know, and this is the other thing too. You can have basically an outline, and here's a really good example of it using Blake's game. You know, you have like an outline of what you feel like how the game is going to flow, but you can't ever, you know, you don't know what your players are going to do. And you may think, oh, well, they're going to go to the left. Well, they may go to the right, but you have to be prepared for that. Mm-hmm. So you don't really have a whole lot prepared for the right, then you have to kind of make it up as you
make
go along and until you can kind of get to a point to stop the game and then kind of fill all that in and make it, you know, more cohesive. But Blake had, you know, these things going on in his game and instead of us doing what he felt we were going to end up doing at the end, we just decided to do something completely else and completely just flipped it on him. And, you know, Blake was like, okay, well, I'm not prepared for that right now, but, you know, next game session, I'll have everything prepared, ready for this other avenue that y'all decided to go down. And, as a DM, that's what you have to, you know, be prepared for. I've had it happen to me a lot of times. And yeah, that's kind of the first, because I mean, you have, like I said, you have this outline and you feel like this is the flow, but you know, if things go off the beaten path, you know, I've had several times where if I'm describing, you know, like the background, I was like, okay, well, you're traveling, you know, from this one village and you're heading towards, you know, these, you know, ruins off in the distance of this keep. And, you know, along the way you see a few farmhouses and you see, you know, there's some other things. You know, I want to go over to where that farmhouse is. I don't have out. I have to kind of, you know, play that off the cuff.
Okay. It's empty. Ain't nobody there. Move along.
Yeah. You could do that or you could come up with a completely little side quest that, you know, takes the party in maybe a little other direction, you know, until to do something and maybe get some reward or maybe fight some beast or maybe just, you know, meet an NPC or a new ally or something. So it's really neat to be able to just kind of do those things like that off the cuff when, you know, you try to kind of plan things out and you should. And you should really be, you know, as prepared as you can be. But you never know what your players are going to ask. And you just kind of have to be, you know, quick on your feet sometimes to okay, well, I want to know who the captain of the guard is. Well, it's so-and-so and he could be found over here in the barracks. And, you know, you may not have that written down. You just kind of have to just rattle that off so they can go and talk to that person for whatever reason.
Do you have a favorite character that you've made?
I do. not so much that my Jim, I've mentioned him several times. He and I, we did a lot of really cool things back when we were, and this was, I was playing a character in his game. Matter of fact, you know, I was talking about my very first character, and I was playing a descendant. Well, I was playing his grandson, and his name was Adrin, and he is a high elf. He was a royal alchemist, basically kind of the physician for the royal family. I grew up basically kind of like, I was extremely, you know, intelligent. I kind of, you know, my father had created this golem, kind of like an artificial, kind of like, I guess it was a version of a fantasy robot that basically this golem was kind of like my nanny, basically kind of took care of me. Because, you know, of course, royalty, they can't be bothered to, you know, raise their kids. So, you know, I walked around and I had this huge golem, you know, kind of following around. But the thing was that my character was all about creating things, and he wanted to build. And I was fascinated with creating things using alchemy and also using kind of mechanical. I mean, I built, you know, a little clockwork dragon that eventually kind of took on its own life and became its own entity. And the thing was, my character, though, one of the I was playing with my friend Chris, who was playing an elf too. He was in this whole pursuit of trying to become a god. He wanted to become a god because, you know, his people didn't have a god, and he really felt like he needed to be represented. So, I mean, he had this whole, you know, just this whole quest to find a way to godhood. And my character hated the gods. I felt like gods were just, they were the reason why we had all the woes in the world, because they got involved and they just screwed things up. And I basically just despised them. I would talk shit about them. You know, if we came across a cleric or a priest, I'd be the first one to give them shit about their and how stupid they were. And how, you know, I could recreate the same miracles using alchemy. And towards the end of the game, I had started, like I said, I was creating things. They were gaining their own kind of sentience, their own life. And I created this. I ended up creating a race of mechanical beings, basically. And at that point, once I kind of had that done, or I said, this is what I want to do. A few game sessions later, basically Jim informed me that I had ascended. I had become a god, and that the mechanical race that I created was basically my people.
That's awesome.
I was pissed because I'd become the one thing that I hated. I mean,
that's amazing.
But that's what Jim, the whole, when, you know, and we ran this game so over the course of, you know, all those game sessions and me bitching about gods, and Jim was like, well, I know what I'm going to do to him. I'm going to make him a god. And he just lay the groundwork, and he, you know, picked it up and did that. And so Adrin has always been my favorite character because Jim flipped my character and did something that I didn't see coming. Think, you know, like I said, it's the most closest to my heart, because really a lot of Adrin, me and him, because I have my own feelings about religion, even though I was raised a Christian and I still have my faith to some degree. I still there's times where I'm almost like, I'm just tired of all this, you know, and I got to vent a lot with Adrin. And, you know, he had a mouth on him. You know, it wasn't, you know, there's a lot of times I had to literally be pulled away from an NPC before I ended up getting my, you know, shit kicked in. Because, I mean, I was just an alchemist. I mean, I had spells and things, but I mean, I was a squishy, you know,
right.
I
was not a fighter.
Not a fighter. And, there were lots of times Chris had his character was had to come here. Sorry, he didn't mean to say that. We're going to be on our way. You're a complete loser. You know, and,
well, is that character still alive?
You know, in a way, I mean, he is. In that realm or that world for a long time, but he's still God, and he, his wife, because he married, you know, like his grandfather had a dark elf, had married a human woman, and they had Ashara and Istravir, and Ashara basically was human in appearance and pretty much human in all aspects. And Istravir was basically, you know, purely elf.
Hmm.
But, his wife got to ascend with him so that she could be with him in the God realm. And, Ishara and Istravir basically kind of those. Ishara was basically my third character. That was another legacy character that I played. She was kind of like a Tomb Raider type character, like a Lara Croft character. She was called her class was a Seeker, and Istravir was a Force Mage. And that was a whole nother game session. Like I said, we took that whole legacy character thing really true to heart. I mean, whenever I made a new character, a lot of times I'd say, well, I'm going to play the son of so-and-so, or I'm going to play the daughter of so-and-so. And Jim would be like, okay, well, let's work that out. Let's do your backstory. Let's do your background. And, you know, that's
awesome.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah. I do too. I mean, Jim, like I said, Jim did a lot of really, amazing things in his game. And, I wouldn't have the characters I had if it wasn't for, you know, the stories that he kind of crafted and we all kind of got to play in. And this is where I kind of learned to take the character and put them into the game or my game and let be a part of it and let them add to it. Not just be my story I'm trying to tell, but, mm-hmm. you know, let you tell your own story as well. And so that's why I'm like, you know, characters that want or players that want to give me, you know, background information or they've got ideas for things, I'm all open to it. You know, I'm like, yeah, let's sit and talk about it. What does your character want to do? Or what's your, you know, and that gives me ideas. I may come up with something I never thought of before because you said, I want to do this. You know, Miranda being a half vampire, I've already been thinking of things to kind of put in her path because of that. And, you know, we'll see how that goes.
I've just not been very involved with her yet. I think the only thing that I really like yell out or say is our group always wants to go do things during the day. And so I'm like, well, yeah. I guess I need my parasol because, you know, it's too damn bright. Where I'm constantly going, I need sustenance because I have this whole theory that I want to go with where I need blood, but not like a normal vampire would need blood. But I won't take it unless it's freely given. It has to be willingly given. So,
interesting.
I won't fully take it.
Well, that leads me to my final question. I know Miranda has some questions too, but my final question is, what is the strangest request that you've ever gotten from a player?
Well, there was, I want to say request. My friend Danny, you know, when it comes to making characters, Danny's never just quite happy with just making your typical, like him playing, he's playing a paladin in my game. He's never played any type of character like this before. This is like the most normal character he's ever played because normally Danny will come up with these, you know, off the wall race class combo. In one of the games that he was playing in, might have been Blake's game, but he played this kind of like a puppet master type mage where he would make, and, you know, he did everything with making small puppets or, you know, things like that that he would cast spells through or, you know, but one of the ones that stood out the most was he played a pixie Bashkar. And what a Bashkar is a berserker, which is kind of like a barbarian to an extent. But he's a pixie. And, you know, a pixie's like a small little sprite character. he played a pixie Bashkar. And, you know, he played this in Jim's game and in my game. We were co-running at the time. And when he came up with this idea, he was telling me, and I was just like, oh, God, how am I going to – I mean, I didn't have anything close to what that would be kind of like in my world. So I was like, okay, give me some time. I'll come up with a way to make this work. Because that's the thing. If someone comes up with a character idea that they want to play, as long as it's not game-breaking, you know, I'll do my best to kind of accommodate them. Mm-hmm. And his Pixie Bash car was really funny. It got a lot of laughs. But, I mean, that's just Danny. Danny has always been, like I said, he just doesn't want to be, say, a certain mage. He wants to be this type of mage, or he wants to be this type of race. And yeah, I think that's probably one of my, you know, one of the kind of weirdest kind of all request, you know, as far as, you know, could I play this, you know, and it, I mean, it worked. I mean, he played it exactly like you think it would be. I mean, he just had this tiny little pixie who, you know, wants to bash things with his little tiny club that he has, you know.
There's actually a character in one of my favorite book series that he's this little pixie, but he's mean and rough and tough like that, where he don't take it and he'll go after it and attack something. And
that's great. Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yep.
All right, Miranda, do you have any more D&D questions?
Well, I want to read Kelly these three questions that I found that were it's from comicsalliance.com. I guess these are questions that people have written and asked them at one point. And this is from 2010, so I don't know what edition they would have been playing at the time. But I guess people have actually written in some of them to me. I'm like, okay, that's a legitimate question, but I guess they found it hysterical. But the one is, my male paladin wants to marry a chaotic evil lady magic user. Is this okay?
Well, okay. So getting into alignments, paladins most of the time, and with fifth edition now, that's not as cut and dry as it used to be, but back in previous editions, if you were playing a paladin, you were lawful good, which lawful good is essentially really goody good. I mean, you know, you're Captain America, basically. That's the best way to kind of describe it. And being that as, you know, you and chaotic evil kind of being, that's the exact opposite.
So the evilest of all evils, basically.
Yeah, I don't think somebody who's lawful good is going to marry somebody chaotic evil. I don't think that would be a... If they did, it would be a very short, marriage.
That's gonna explode in divorce.
You know, so I mean, and that's the other thing too. Like, you know, in most games, you don't, you know, if somebody's playing a chaotic evil character in a game that's predominantly, you know, good people, you know, you're going to have a lot of conflict of interest, or you're basically going to have that chaotic evil person is going to slip up and something, and the rest of the group's going to have to do something about it. So it's usually try to get to have everybody around not the same alignment, but at least the same kind of, you know, kind of same kind of moral compass as far as like, we're going to be a good group, or we're going to be kind of a neutral group, or, you know.
That makes sense. I thought it was funny, but now that you explain it, I'm like, well, it wasn't so funny. It was still funny because it's like.
Yeah. I mean, I get the question. It's just like, I mean, if I just don't see it working like that, but hey,
maybe that's what they want is like explosive reality TV during your D&D game between these two that aren't going to work. That's what I see. The two others that I found the most hysterical, I don't even know if there's an answer to them. I just thought they were really funny questions that they wrote people. And the guy even replies and says, first off, the fact that you're writing to a magazine about how you should handle this is basically the greatest thing that anyone has ever done in their life. So they wrote in and said, I have a female character who's gotten herself pregnant. How should I handle this? Oh, that was great.
You're Abby.
Pretty much.
Send them off. We've
family,
never
like in Riverdale. Yeah,
never really had like all of the characters, like, you know, my own characters have gotten married and had kids, but it's always kind of after game and you know, we're setting up the next campaign or whatever. I've never had a character in game, you know, get pregnant or you know, I guess, you know, if it happens, it's like, well, you know, that character, if you're playing a female and you get pregnant, well, you know, you're going to continue to adventure or are you going to
settle down? Heck yes, strap him to your back and just keep on going.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, after it's like you got to take time to have the kid and you know, if you're going to go out and dungeon dive, that's not the best, you know, you know,
I'm prepping
you don't
him for life world.
Don't tell her how to raise her child.
Right. I'm not going to tell you how to raise your imaginary child. An imaginary game. It's your imaginary.
Imaginary
responsibility.
Yeah.
Reality. You need to figure out with your imaginary life how you're going to handle this shit.
Yep.
That one I thought was hysterical.
Yeah, that one's definitely, that's...
My favorite one of all of them, though, and there's more, but these three were my favorite. The absolute took the cake for me was, do real barbarians eat quiche?
Well, you know, I would say no. But,
no? Who doesn't love quiche?
Maybe barbarians do like quiche. None of the ones that I've ever had in my game or one that I've ever, you know, played, which is not many, even thought about having quiche. So, I mean.
I think I found my first D&D character.
You're going to be a barbarian who eats quiche? And has an imaginary
quiche
baby?
Quiche-eating barbarian.
With an imaginary baby.
Exactly.
Oh, God. Kelly's like, no.
I shall be the worst player ever.
Or you could just, you know, maybe your barbarian's a really good cook and you like to cook, and bake. So, you know.
You make it, quiche. I don't know.
Barbarians can cook too, yo.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. I mean, they've got to eat.
Right?
Yeah.
Can't eat everything raw. Well, I mean, I guess you can. But... And then that goes into a conversation that we actually started having because I took these little tarts. So I bring snacks, right? That's like my unofficial job. And I have these tarts that I bought that I was like, oh, look, and they're paleo friendly. So then as I'm preparing snacks in the kitchen, which is like three steps away, they go into this giant conversation of like funny, not accurate conversation of what paleo is.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Lord. These guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
I will say, before we ask, because we do rapid fire questions to like all of our guests, we've added a couple too. So I have had more fun and like serious for real, like deep laughter, you know, like the laughter you can't catch your breath from playing the two nights that I've played with this, with Kelly's group, and everybody has really taken me in. And you know, nobody's looking at me like, oh, she doesn't know what she's doing. She's never played. She's a girl. You know, all the tropes that you would normally get. And, I haven't officially found my voice or my footing, but I feel like I'm getting there. And it's amazing. Like Kelly said earlier, I've told our listeners before when we interviewed my friend Barbara, who is an author, and we actually touched on depression in that episode. And I admitted, you know, I've off and on for different reasons in my life have stumbled into it. And it is, I could see where going for the night, because you're genuinely laughing. It's not a fake laugh. It's not a forced laugh. It's not, you were having a genuinely good time, and contrary to popular belief, those of us in the nerd world, the geek culture, we're not hermits. We don't just sit at home alone. We do enjoy, like, getting together with like-minded peers and doing something such as playing this D&D game, which I am having a lot of fun at playing. Blake is hysterical. Chris's character, who every time we've met has a different name. I don't know if he has an official name yet.
He'll find one eventually. Right. But, I mean, that's just...
What was
Chris
he
is always
to name it and you told him no?
Well, which... he was... He's trying to name himself after prescription medicines.
Yes.
I mean, you know, and this all
Cialis
leads back.
Cialis Viagra.
He had a mage character years ago named Zoloff. wasn't in my game, but he, you know... well, wait a minute. It wasn't my game. And he had his familiar was a toad, so it was Zoloff and Toad. And I was like, look, you're not naming yourself after prescription medicine.
He had three different names he kept like throwing out there, and every time he would say one, I had just taken like a big drink, and I almost, the one he came off with the one time, I almost spit it everywhere. I don't know why, it was the most hysterical thing. And then his bear friend familiar is Eric with a K.
Nice.
Yep.
And that's the one that the vassals always have him to wash or like make sure he feeds him or clean up his poo or.
Yeah, he's.
Oh, God,
and he's a you know, he's not just, he's a dire bear, so he's big.
Yeah, he's,
you know,
not he's, just a he's, bear.
Yeah. So. But yeah, I mean, with a K, Eric with
Eric
a K.
K. I think my favorite story though, from like both nights of us playing is, we were talking in particular about, you know, maybe it's a lycanthropy situation and well, how did it know that she was there, that the female was there, and Julian out of nowhere. And I think we made Kelly blush so hard because Julian out of nowhere goes, well, I don't know. Maybe she's on her menzies. Like, don't dogs smell that when women on their menzies? And he looks dead at me, and I'm like, "What the fuck? Are you asking me to confirm this shit? Like, I'm not sure what you want from me right now."
Yeah, and that's where I was like, "Okay, okay."
But everybody, like, lost it. But that was that's the kind of game that we play. Like, we can go from, we have serious moments, but we're having fun. And, you know, I just called him out, and he was like, I wasn't trying to look at you. And I was like, well, you look dead at me. So, apparently, your subconscious really wants to know. Like,
yeah.
Anybody else around here get their menzies?
No, I'm the only one at the table that would be getting a menzies.
Yeah.
If one of them is, I am concerned and would like to take them to the doctor. So, but it's really fun. The math isn't as bad as I thought it would be.
I think you've done, you know, somebody who's just started playing, only two sessions. I think you've done really well. And like I said, before you started playing, is that everyone here is super helpful. If you have any questions or you're not too sure, you're gonna get helped. So, I mean, that's when you're rolling and they're trying to take, oh, you got this and this. That's just the way everybody plays, and that's a really good thing too. Is everyone's role? You know, if you're new to it, you're not treated like, oh, well, this guy doesn't know what the hell he's doing, or this, you know, she doesn't know anything, and. And you have people that are like that in the community, in the gaming community in general.
Sure,
but
you have elitists in any game,
right?
But our group is we don't have that. We, mm-mm. You know, everyone is just really helpful, and you know, it's just all about having fun.
We seem to mesh really. I think that's important. I think our group seems to mesh really well so far.
Yeah. Yeah.
So. Well, something that we started doing. And sorry, Russell, once again, that you didn't get to do this. But after we had Russell on as a guest, we decided from here on out when we have guests, we should do, like, rapid-fire questions. You know, when people go on a talk show or anything, they usually have, like, a set of, like, really fast questions they ask. And so Jenny and I came up with a few. So we'll start, and you just tell us what it is. I usually tell everybody, like, the first thing that comes to your mind. Or if you have a hard time answering and you have, like, two or three, you can say, well, I can't pick one, so it's blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And that's okay. So I guess let's start with favorite movie.
Prince of Darkness.
Favorite book.
Shatter Day.
Okay, what about your favorite childhood book?
The Pokey Little Puppy.
That's a good book. I already know the answer to this, but I have to ask it for everybody out there. Favorite comic book character?
Green Lantern.
I figured. Favorite band?
Not Mon-El?
What?
Not Mon-El?
Well, I mean, he's dreamy.
Sorry, I'm having a moment.
Anyway,
It's not that time yet. I need to calm myself down.
Yeah, we're not there yet.
Okay. So, favorite band or musical artist?
Power Man 5000.
Ooh, nice choice. And then I just added this one myself because I know most all of us in our group, we listen to podcasts other than each other. Or ourselves. So if you had to pick your favorite podcast that you listen to, what podcast would it be?
Thacko, which is my friend Jim, Mark, Chris, and Dale. That's their podcast.
And what do they talk about on Thacko?
They talk, I mean, each episode is usually, like, one of them will basically do like, you know, Jim will, one week will basically set the outline for the episode and everybody will kind of contribute to it. And they do kind of like everything. They basically, it's all kind of geek culture, but sometimes they'll step outside that and they'll do, you know, talk about movies, talk about different types of miniature gaming or, I mean, they kind of just run the gamut for as far as, you know, geek and nerd culture.
I need to check that out then.
And they've they haven't really had, I mean, they've been off for the last several months, but they've been doing it for 7 or 8 years, I think now. I mean, they've got quite a bit of episodes out there, but yeah, it's really cool. I started listening to them just because I missed them, you know, as far as not being able to talk to them on a regular basis. But they, you know, their podcast, it was like really the first podcast I really got into. And it's always kind of been my go-to, kind of my favorite. So.
Okay. And do you have a book, comic, novel, otherwise, that you're currently reading or that you really want people to know about, like to go pick up and enjoy?
I'm rereading the Elric Saga by Michael Moorcock, which, I mean, that it's been out for quite some time. It's really a good series. If you hadn't read it or you know, I'd definitely do some, you know, do a Google search, look it up, and it's good. It's a good series.
Awesome.
Cool.
All right.
I know. It's that time, isn't it? So it's that time, and like most of our guests in the past, Kelly has agreed to stay for what I think is everyone's favorite segment now at this point. I know it's my favorite segment, and I don't know why, but it is. So I guess, you know, Todd, I really need some sort of jingle, because my throat starts hurting after doing this, like, every podcast. But anyway, okay, here we go. So it's time for Nerd Eye Candy Moment.
Oh, it makes me laugh every time. Okay. Even if Todd does make a jingle, you're still going to have to do that for me. So, oh, sorry. Okay. And I don't really...
I went first last time and the time before.
Kelly, do you want to go first? You're the guest.
You are the guest.
So, basically, I gather we're going to mention someone that we have a crush on or a like.
Sure, yeah.
A crush, a like, a appreciation for their looks and mannerisms. Can be real, not real.
Yeah.
All the above.
Well, I think as far as I had a friend of mine who we were talking about shows, and he basically was kind of trashing Supergirl, saying what a just horrible show it was, and
it's, oh, my heart hurts.
He says that he was saying it was too sappy, and it was just. Yeah. And I, you know, I was, and look, everyone has their opinions, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. And it did. Mm-hmm. But I was telling him, I said, well, you know, Supergirl's all about being kind of, you know, goody and kind of, you know, sweet, charming. And the actress, Melissa, does such a good job playing her. And I think if I've got, you know, a crush, it's basic. And it also goes to the fact that Supergirl has always been one of my favorite female DC characters. She's always just kind of been that one character that I've really enjoyed reading over the you know, past several years. Mm-hmm. But I think she's definitely, and you know, Mon-El, I mean, he's, yes. It's really good to see that they've taken his character and really done some really neat things with it, you know, so.
I agree.
I kind of thought, you know, I don't know, have y'all seen the last episode? Okay. Well,
maybe.
Yes.
Was there one this week? No, I have. I am caught up. Never mind.
Yeah, we're okay. All caught up.
We are caught up.
I was a little concerned that maybe the parents may haul him off back to Daxam.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
To see that Kara didn't let that happen, and she, mm-hmm. she brought it to them. And you know, I called it. I said, you know what? As soon as his dad kind of relented, I said, mm-hmm. she's going to kill him now. Yep. She's going to kill him. And sure enough, when they were told, I was like, where is it? Where's the knife? Oh, there it is. Bye, Kevin.
Yeah, I didn't call that, but I told Jenny. I was so sad that he was gone because it was like, Kevin Sorbo was back.
Well, I mean, he's not going to make a good villain, you know.
No.
Terry Hatcher.
Yeah.
Terry Hatcher can be, she's going to be a thorn.
Yes.
So, I mean, but yeah, I mean, Kara, I think, is, you know, probably, I mean, my current crush. I mean, I've had several, but I mean, most of them have been Doctor Who companions, so.
Nice choices.
You
nice
and choices. Me both.
Yep.
So I guess I'll go next. I've recently finished watching all of Iron Fist, which we've talked about. And largely, sad to say, disappointed with that show. I will say the highlight of it was Colleen Wing, who I suppose I should have looked up the actress's name to be a little more precise.
Well, you don't have to if that incarnation of her is what you are referring to, you know.
Yeah, she was basically the best part of the show. She has pretty much the best fight scenes, and she actually brings some sort of interesting parts to Danny's story, because frankly, Danny is freaking boring most of the time in that show. And the only time he really kind of shows any kind of like spark or anything is the scenes with her. They do have a little bit of a chemistry together. So I'm going to say Colleen Wing just for her elevation of just a little tiny sliver of that show.
No, Nice. Nice choices. Mm-hmm. I think you guys made great choices. So I picked mine. It's not really a geeky pick, which I've done this a couple times, but I picked Derek Thieler, who plays Danny Wheeler on Baby Daddy. And he was also in this horribly cheesy, yet you can't take your eyes away from it, B-rate movie called Shark Killer. So it was like sci-fi B-rate movies, but you gotta watch it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And he is one of those, like, Stephen Amell is, where he's very interactive with his fans on his Instagram. He is hysterical, and he kind of, like, if you made a modern-day, real-life Hercules movie, he should be Hercules. Like, oh.
What's his name again?
Derek Thieler.
Okay.
And on Baby Daddy, he plays, like, this quintessential dumb, like, he plays for the Rangers.
Ah, yes.
He's, like, a hockey player. He plays for the Rangers.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just hysterical on that show. Because he plays dumb. You can tell when you follow him on, like, Facebook and watch Instagram videos and stuff that he's not a dumb person. But he plays that dumb, like, I'm so pretty and dumb. Like, so well.
You know, he looks a tad like, in this picture, he looks a tad like Benedict Cumberbatch.
I could see the resemblance, but he's much much taller, built mm-hmm. built bigger. Yeah. He's pretty.
He would be an excellent superhero.
See? Hercules? I don't know why. I have it in my brain, you know, Disney doing
I don't know. I'm kind of getting a Guy Gardner vibe.
Well, we do need one of those. We do need one of those.
Yeah. This requires further investigation.
I like that I have piqued your interest, madam.
Yeah. For some reason, I've been really into this fantasy casting of the Green Lantern Corps movie.
I got into it a few years ago when one of my favorite authors decided she was going to do, like, a YouTube series. And she was like, if you could cast anybody after reading however many of the books in the series were at that point, who would you cast? So I actually, like, made a little, like, I found it on my laptop the other day. Apparently I never got rid of. I had this little Word document where I was like, and this character would be this person, and this character would be this person, and oh my god, what are you? And then they cast people to play the YouTube series show, and I was like, you guys don't, oh. I was just so disappointed. The only one I wasn't disappointed in is, and why can't I think of her name right now? You Could Help Me, Kelly. She played Willow's girlfriend on Buffy, and she's written several books that I adore.
Tara Benson?
Yes.
I think.
They cast her as, like, the main, like, queen vampire bitch, basically, on this mm-hmm. thing. And she's supposed to be, like, cold. And honestly, the whole time I was reading the book, the description and the coldness, I pictured Nicole Kidman. But then they put her in this role, and I was like, oh, that's the only one I'm digging. But I do the same thing. I like fantasy casting or, like,
yeah,
picking roles and such. So I always go off on a tangent about something else.
That's why we love you.
I'm good at that.
Well, thank you, Kelly, for being on the show and teaching me in particular. I know you've already started with Miranda, but teaching me about some D&D, and I am extremely interested in it. I'll have to say you have
helped me
into that. And where can people find you at on social media if you wish to be found?
Russell usually plugs me. I to be honest, I don't.
Oh, I don't. Hang on. Let me. I will go to the Twitter.
HPK 2814.
Yeah, it's HKP.
KP.
HKP 2814.
2814.
On that, on the Twitter.
On the Twitter.
At Twitter.
Twitter. Well, you can follow at Twitter, but that would not be Kelly.
Yeah. If you want to, you know, that's fine. If you don't, that's fine too. I don't. I do what I can when I make posts, but I don't do it like all the time. So it's usually when I'm at work when there's not a lot going on and I can, you know, make little posts or whatever about things. So
it's okay. I've actually
try to be social.
Been on Twitter for a really long time, but Jenny, who's only been on it for like since right when we started this podcast, is like the shit at it.
Not really. I'm just, you know, I'm a very non-busy person. We'll just put it that way.
I wouldn't say we're non-busy people.
I have lots of free time to fuck around on Twitter.
I tell you what, I've gotten more laughs listening or reading your discussions or your talks with each of y'all's respected sons. Their little what they say. I tell you what, sometimes during the day when things are just mind-numbing, which my job is really mind-numbing sometimes, I do get a really good kick out of it. So, you know, I do appreciate that. That's, you know, your sons are awesome. They have great minds. And,
yes.
And things that they say are just, I'm like, wow, that is just awesome.
And they mean
today,
every
my son listened to me bitch at my insurance company and some pharmacists. And when I got off the phone, he said, "Mama, you're a badass." I said, "Fuck yeah, I am."
Well, I mean, when you know you're a mama and you're trying to take care of your kid and trying to get what he needs, you have to be. I mean, these folks, they don't care. I mean, it's not their kids. So, I mean, you've got to get up there and roar sometimes at them, because that's the only way you can get their attention. Because, like you said, a lot of these folks are just stupid, and they just, you know, you're like, look, fix this now, or I'm going to reach this phone and I'm going to choke you.
Well, you know, as a mom, like, we're their voice, we're their advocate, and even if they have a good daddy, like, our boys do, like, at the end of the day, like, mama is, like, the voice and the advocate, so you have to be that.
Yeah.
You have to take note
of
it.
My mom was. I mean, she was the disciplinarian. My dad just could not bring himself to spank, you know, or do anything like that. I mean, don't get me wrong, my dad was awesome, but he just couldn't do it. Mom was like, okay, I'll take care of this.
Oh, I'll put my top off in the middle of Publix if I got to.
And anybody, you know, I can remember, you know, if she'd be right out there to, don't you do that to my son. Don't you, you know, be right there. So I get it. But, you know, like I said, you're just the stuff that comes out of y'all's kid's mouth. It's just golden, you know?
Yeah. Thank you. I agree with that. You can catch me being badass on Twitter at Jenny Cruz, Cruz 2814.
You can find, I guess, my comedic hindrings and rants at Mom's a Nerd, both on Instagram and Twitter. You can find both Jenny and I together. She's doing a fantastic job with our Twitter page at Geek and Sassy, and I'm trying my best with Instagram at Geek and Sassy also. And don't forget, we have set up the wonderful Ask FM page where you can ask anonymous questions or just anonymous comments if you want to, because you don't want to go on Twitter. Either you don't have one, or you just don't want people to know it's you asking, and that's ask.fm/geekandsassy.
All right. Thank you guys for listening.
Yep. Thanks
You're
for having me.
For talking.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.